Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Comms Noise, Star Wars Armada podcast. I'm Chris. Here with me today are...
I'm Ben.
Matt.
And Ricky.
So we've got a jet-packed agenda for you today on episode 2. First, we're going to talk a bit about the Corellian Conflict article that was released on the FFG website a week or so ago. Get excited about that. Brief chat about the world's prizes. And then the FAQ that was released in the tournament rules, we're going to go through some of the changes in that. Then we're going to have a quick break, and then we've all prepared for your delectation a list that we're just going to talk through each. And there's a bit of a mix. There's some fun stuff in there, and some hot tournament mettering. So how can you make a really good list even better? So we'll get to that later.
Yeah,
we probably should call this episode Recon because we want to kill him twice in Corellian Conflict. He's the prize for Worlds. He did get fapped, and he's probably in all the lists later. So he's probably going to feature quite heavily.
Wow, welcome to Recon Cast.
Yeah, Recon Cast.
I like it.
Is he in our break as well?
Yeah, we could. Is there a song? We could get a quote from Recon Strikes Back.
Oh, what does he say? A death mark's not an easy thing to live with, Solo. Something like that.
That's got to be
fun. I think that's literally his only line in the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he's so good. Why isn't that longer?
Yeah, Vader's in a lot, and he's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's the trick.
That's the trick.
The more in the films
Skywalker,
you are, the shittier you are.
Terrible. In the film a lot.
Oh, man. Akbar, only in 2 scenes.
Awesome.
Really good.
That's it.
It's Motti. Motti is explained. He's in that one scene, and he's the best.
He's which the scene?
He's in... Don't frighten us with your sorcerous ways, Vader.
Oh, yeah.
When he gets choked. Although that's not narrowing it down for Imperial Admirals.
But they all,
they all get choked.
Yeah. Cool. Right, let's talk about the Corellian Conflict article. So, FFG just gave a bit of a preview.
Yeah, October 12th, called Playing the Long Game.
We're looking... we were hoping for a sort of mid to end November release, but I think... Did someone say it's been delayed a bit to...
Well, they said end of November.
Right.
Oh, really?
Let's be honest, it's going to be December. It's probably going to be
Yeah,
Christmas
well, when
time.
Was the last time an Armada thing came out on time?
Whoa.
It's always delayed. That's the rule. You spend 6 months looking at previews for it, and then it gets delayed by 3 months.
We still love you, Fancy Flight Games.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Even when they give super vague release dates, like quarter 4.
Basically.
They still late. It's a 3-month window.
If they didn't preview it, it would be fine. If they didn't say they were going to release it and preview it 6 months, so you're like desperate for it to arrive.
Yeah.
If it just turned up, you wouldn't know
exactly.
About it.
Well, they put the article out 2 weeks before it's out.
Yeah, exactly.
When it's all made, packed away, ready to ship.
Anyway,
should we actually just talk about the article?
No,
best
moment.
Right.
So what have we got? So it's...
So it's basically talking about how to play team-based campaign games, which sounds amazing. I'm really looking forward to playing it.
The key points are everybody... You get a new objective, which is green objective, which is only in campaign. You can't play in tournaments.
So you don't have to buy this to play tournaments.
Yeah.
You have to share everything. That's the big...
You have to share all the character stuff, which is awesome, because I'm really looking forward to playing, like, the 80% of upgrade cards that I don't even remember the names of or what they do.
Because
I looked at them and go, nah.
Because only one person can have Rhymer, only one person can have Demolisher.
Yeah.
One person can have Yavarus.
But what if
the guy who gets Yavarus doesn't get Recon? What if you like draw straws for who gets what?
I think you'd have to say. You'd have to trade, wouldn't you? You'd have to trade. Yeah. Although it will literally be the rebel strategy will be all the character squadrons, Brycon and Yavarus, and then just put in a staff over here.
Oh man,
everyone has to play that list.
You're just trying to win that game. You're putting all your eggs in that game.
Oh, that's quite a fun way of doing it, though, isn't it? You could shuffle all the unique cards together and dish them out between the players.
That'd be awesome.
So yeah, one guy gets Home One and Donna's Pride and Paragon.
Wow,
be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be pretty terrible.
I think it'll be all right. I don't think it'll be bad because you can probably have Akbar. You can have Recon. I don't know who you would have for the third. Mon Mothma.
Yeah, you can make a Dodonna TRC thing.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Dodonna's good. Yeah, and I like Kraken.
Kraken?
Yeah, Kraken's good, yeah.
In fact, I think the Imperials are going to have a harder time than the Rebels because Motti's good. and all the others are
He keeps saying Motti's good, but he's just good value.
Good value. Well, because every time I'm making a list, I think, well, shall I include this Admiral? And then I think, I'm paying 8 points to lose 3 hull points off of my ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great.
So what are the other impeller options? What, Screed? If you
Screed's
if you
okay. You
can
make
heavy and you need to guarantee
you
that.
Can make, if you write the list around them, it's pretty cool.
You could make like an MSU list with Screed.
And also, I guess, for MSU.
Yeah, or Ozzel, yeah. And then you could do Tarkin's like not amazing, but he'd be fun to use.
I hear he's good in Agazanti.
He's good in Agazanti.
As we'll find out later.
More on that later. No, I think like because you'll be you won't have all the optimized upgrades and all the optimized combos.
Yeah,
you'll be scrabbling around for stuff. So having tokens of your choice actually might become quite strong. Mm.
Yeah, we'll find some whole new combos.
You could do a Constantine Interdictor list because I'm sure Interdictor will be good with all the objectives.
Yeah,
so you could do a Constantine Interdictor list. It'd be quite nasty.
It'll be funny though. There'll probably only be one Interdictor list in 3. You're not going to take him for any
all
of
the well, not all of them, but most of the upgrades on the Interdictor are unique.
And but the
Interdictor itself.
Well, yeah, the title, most of the projectors are.
Yeah.
So really, only one if you want it. Because
as soon as you don't have Interdictor, it's a bit.
You wouldn't want to take more than one.
Yeah. Fine. So what else have we got? They've previewed some objectives, but they're all
the green ones. Quite complicated, but yeah, this one sounds cool. Iron Cannon, base defense. You know, that's just Battle of Hoth, isn't it? They'll be quite well themed and just cool.
And then you strategize, you choose where you're attacking, you then play games, and then you have a management phase where you harvest the resources and you can use it to refit your ships and other stuff, I guess. And then if a ship dies,
so stuff gets damaged.
What happens? What happens the first time? It becomes scarred, right?
Yeah. So you have to pay points to refit it.
But does it lose anything when it's scarred?
It loses one defense token. It takes one damage at the start of a game.
Wow.
And if it dies when it's scarred, then it's gone forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you have to bank on controlling enough of the map that you can repair, fully
repair.
You're
in the beginning. So the first few...
But fleet is more than just your fleet, though, isn't it? You have like more than 400 points in your hangar or whatever.
I hope you start with some.
Like some spare ships, basically.
Yeah, otherwise... Well, I don't know. I assume you just have whatever your points are, but it's only character ships that die or get scarred. Or is it your actual just vanilla...
Everything.
Vanilla stuff.
Everything.
Just getting really...
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Squadrons?
It's quite a lot of paperwork.
Does that count for squadrons?
Squadrons lose the damage, yeah. If they're character squadrons and they get scarred, they start with one less damage.
Just one less?
I assume so, if they're scarred.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. It's going to be...
But just imagine when Janelles gets removed from the campaign...
Yeah, it changes everything, doesn't it? So there's certain cards that really define how the game's played.
You just spend points to repair her. You wouldn't
even risk it.
No.
No, she's probably so cheap. Like, you know, maybe you can't afford to repair a Star Destroyer because it'll cost you a lot of points. But you'd think the fighters would be a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you get to share them across, like, if someone had a really good game. Is it just then pooled together and you repair
your
teammates? You can
prop your teammates up, maybe. Who knows? There's really not that much information in here.
No, maximum 500, my 500 point total fleet points.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't need to spend your resources to maintain it, you can buy extra ships and squadrons. So you could get mismatches. You could have like 500 points versus 300 points.
But that's just a stomp, though.
You play accordingly, though, don't you? You don't have to go head to head. You can just try and like pick something off and run away. Like you're not looking to win the game necessarily. You're looking to not die and maybe just take out one key thing before you go.
Yeah.
Well, that happened, though, you think, where you just have a standoff where both teams don't want to get any damage.
Yeah,
they've got loads of scarred ships on both sides.
I
you
found
end up just
that.
Like, I'm just going to stay back.
I've
and,
played a lot of campaign systems in other games, and you do get games where basically both people just fly off the board at the start of the game because they don't want to lose something cool and they don't think they can win.
You stay over there, and I'll stay over here.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Peace treaty for one game here.
And they put the two.
I guess that's narrative, though, because a lot of military campaigns would have been fought like that. They'd have been fought like skirmishes. You just need to maneuver.
Well, especially naval conflict. Like through World War I and World War II, it was really rare to get a pitched naval battle because, you know, these ships take years to build and cost millions.
Yeah,
you don't want to just throw them away unless
and there's like
2,000 you know you can
people
win.
On each one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the two special assault objectives look quite cool as well. The Hyperlane Raid and Show of Force. And it's like once per game, you can do one of...
Hmm.
One of you can announce one of these, like the Imperial has Show Force and the Rebel has Hyperlane Raid, and they just look like interesting missions to play, especially the Hyperlane Raid, where the three foot edges of the player become the player edges. So then it's just
playing a long game.
Yeah. And the Rebels just have to get out of there from what I can
escape cool. with your life.
Well, yeah, these missions should hopefully all be a bit more like cinematic and themed up.
Definitely. So yeah, won't work with eight Gazantes.
I probably wouldn't be running that list.
I hope not.
God, yeah, just the attrition you'd suffer. You lost like four or five ships every game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Your maintenance fees.
Yeah, they're going to be like 15 points. Yeah,
cheap to repair.
They're crazy cheap.
I think you'd be okay.
I think we can afford that. Although you might get choked by Darth Vader for your lack of...
He is as clumsy as he is stupid.
Darth Vader's not worried about losses, so as long as you get results. You can lose seven of those eight Gazantes, but if you bag the target...
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah.
Promotion.
So I think we're all very, very much eager to play the Corellian.
Yeah, it'll change.
Make a nice change of pace from the tournament.
Definitely,
practice.
Definitely, and
put a bit more story to all the games.
Yeah, just keen to try out some of the stuff that's cool, but not actually like that effective. Like I'd love to try out some of the YV666 stuff with Rufus Strategist shenanigans and stuff. It's not quite good enough to work in a optimized list, but be fine in a campaign or you know that kind of thing. Maybe fly Luke at a Death Star or something. You know, yeah, fly Luke at a base and...
I might even crank out the victories for once.
Yeah.
Might be all you can afford.
So if you lose Bosk in a game and he becomes scarred, he gets his special ability of the start of the next thing.
Oh yeah, he just starts triggered, doesn't he?
Does he?
He's angry.
And loses his only defense token.
He's angry.
He just turns up like,
just flying around and into it.
That's the risky way to play.
Very risky. That would be pretty rubbish, actually.
So we will need to sort a game. We'll have to record a lot of the details of what occurs in our game.
Yeah. I think we should try and do it like in a day or over two weeks or something. Like try and play two or three games in a day if we can.
I'd be super keen for like release Sunday or something.
Yeah, just try and play half of a campaign or most of a campaign in a day and
let you guys know.
Get to it. Yeah. And then maybe play the finishing battle on like a Wednesday night or something.
Looking forward to it. I wonder if there's going to be any upgrade cards in there, because we know there's new unique squadrons in there.
Was it 12?
12.
It looks like there's any upgrades.
No.
I thought I heard 12.
Don't know.
We'll find out soon.
We'll find out.
1 month.
Plus. <it's>... Plus whatever.
On its new date time.
At some point, we just need to hire a boat and intercept some of these FFG ocean liners.
Pirates.
Send some Somali pirates to go and capture them for us.
Yeah. Oh, we just need to get them hooked. We'll give them some intro games so they love it. And then they'll do it.
Then they stop pirating because they're too busy playing. As it stands, though, I think Wave 5 will probably come out at the same time.
I reckon
they've come at the same time.
Well, I don't know, because there's no models in that, and a lot of the hold up is often the models because.
Yeah. Although the card games always get held up as well.
Yeah, well, they all come from China on a big ship, don't they? Which often gets held up.
Apparently, that big shipping company went bankrupt recently.
Someone told me about
screwed everything over.
Yeah.
Could have been on that one boat that got stuck.
Well, it's not one boat, they've got like hundreds of boats.
Multiple boats.
Super ship.
All on that company then.
They're all afraid to dock and be repossessed.
Anyone else got anything else to say about that for now?
No, the information's pretty sketchy.
There'll be another preview probably before release with a bit more cards listed and more information.
Yeah. Good. And then they also released another article about the World's Prizes.
Oh, yeah. What could we find lying around the office to put in the goodie bag?
Oh, yeah. 3x3 boards.
So, on the surface, it all looks awesome, but when you drill down into it...
There's some nice stuff in there, but it does feel like a weird bag of shit that was lying around the office, all stuck together. Like a 3x3 playmat.
What the hell are you going to do with that?
Yeah, because of the, you know, that play, famous capital ship battle that happened above Bespin that we're all wanting to refight. Looking forward to that.
Although,
why didn't it end all?
It's only one guy getting the mat.
That's
your girl. It's a one person.
It was never going to be one of us, was it?
It's not going to be one of us. So what do we care?
No, yeah. But you get a lovely trophy.
They can't use it because it's only a 3x3.
Well, you just have to win twice, Ricky. What kind of attitude is that?
Oh, and next to win twice. Yeah. For the second 3x3 board they put up.
The fact, it's one thing though, I mean, we probably don't want to go through the prizes bit by bit, other than the cut of the cards.
So it's a sheet of uncut cards, or just like six cards on an A4 paper or something like that?
It's cool if it's like the first six new banknotes, whatever, serial as a coin collector, but who cares?
There's literally no numbers. There's nothing on them.
Exactly. Just cut them out and sell them on eBay.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're just offering, so you get a little bit of them.
Yeah. Well, you have to make it yourself by eBay.
I just can't help but think they had a few more.
I love like how the this is how like the American tournament theory, like American convention theory, comes into it. You get a Rican when you turn up.
Yeah.
And then if you're still there after lunch, you get another two copies.
Why?
What? Oh, to stop people going, I lost my first game.
Exactly.
I've paid £50 to be here, but sod it, I'm going.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go and play in Netrunner or Game of Thrones.
They're all
on at the same time. Well, they're different. They mish the days up so you can play in like I think Netrunner and Game of Thrones, because people play a lot of the same people play that.
Right.
They split the tournaments up, but I don't
know
about
Armada. Same thing they did at Nationals.
Yeah. So it's like that just completely... Whereas here, people would basically never drop in a tournament.
I don't know.
You might at a convention, you might. But if you went to like... If we went to something like this one in Cardiff,
you're
not going to drop.
You're
there for a tournament.
I want to play so many games of Armada.
You might, if you go to a convention, you might, because you might go.
But there's other stuff to do.
But
there's still like, I don't get to play very often.
I know.
But I guess if I played like 10 games a week, and maybe I wouldn't be so bothered. But
anyway, it's just so weird, isn't it? You get extra copies.
If you get three copies, if you turn up on the
second day, you get more stuff.
I think you're right. They had extra.
Don't you get a promo from everything though as well? People were saying that you get. All the old tarot cards they do for all the game systems, they give you, if you play one of the game systems, they give you one of each of those as well.
Really?
So people like trade their extras.
You get the X-Wing and the Netrunners and all of that.
Someone was saying something along those lines.
Wow.
It could be a flood on eBay.
Maybe that's just if they've got a load more than they need.
Yeah. I mean, you'd always expect them to have extras just in case they have misprints and stuff. It just seems so funny that the top four, the prize is uncut cards.
I'd love to go in there and then they'd be like, can you guys cut them for me?
Have you got the guillotine?
Exactly, it's in their HQ, yeah. Have you got your little machine that punches them out, please?
But they tried to justify it. They've said, our prizes are usually either game components or collector's items. This unique prize is both.
You can't. It won't be you should have to cut it out.
So it's one or the other.
Yeah.
It just happens to be a collector's item in its
current. I think the most important thing here.
But I think the artwork is really nice.
Yeah,
I'll just say that.
Yeah. It is great.
and
I shouldn't badmouth this because like I used to go to Games Workshop tournaments and they never had any of this cool stuff. So it's just nice to have cool prizes.
Yeah. And the thing I've loved about it was a Magic the Gathering thing originally, but FFG have kind of taken it and built it, is the greatest, what they describe as the greatest prize in gaming, designing a card.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that's cool.
The Boba Fett in X-Wing, the crew card, he was designed
Paul
by
Heaver,
a winner, wasn't he?
Paul Heaver designed that.
Oh, I see.
I
don't see there's no Ewok card yet.
They used to do it. So
there must be like ground rules.
You can't
put Jar Jar Binks in the game.
You can't just go in and say, right, I make a card, it's 1 point, and it is, if you're shooting at a ship called Demolisher, it dies. The game's like, yep, we'll make that for you. What cover art would you like? They vet it. I used to play a lot of Magic, and this was a Magic thing. So the world champion every year would get to design a card, and the artwork would be their face.
Wow!
In the card,
freaky.
Yeah. So like they'd be like a mage or something, and it would be their face. Yeah, it's really weird.
But,
that's
wait, when you say their face, I assume they use an artist to like redraw.
It would be CGI
can you imagine one of us just in like an Imperial looking stern.
Yeah, yeah.
You could be like Captain Ricky.
Yeah. You could be that Rican.
Or behind him.
Yeah. And it's a new card, right? Yeah, you can't redesign a card. It just says design a card. I would probably go in and go, yeah, can I redesign Rican? I just double his points to make him fair.
What would you pick if you had to...
It's difficult to... Because the ones that have the most impact are the subtlest ones, like cheap ones that don't actually do anything particularly interesting, but they're very useful.
So you wouldn't try to like rebalance things you didn't like about the game, would it?
I don't know. I'd have to have a thing.
But like it's subtle, isn't it? Because the next thing, and I know where this is branching out, that Boba Fett card was introduced so that you could... People say it was sort of to counteract like the prevalence of Palpatine and those sort of things, where you can have this cheap upgrade, which
is a threat to our expensive upgrade.
Yeah, potentially strips. So in X-Wing, it strips upgrade cards off other ships if you land a face-up damage card. And it's quite hard to do situationally, but when it lands, and I've done it before, and you use Boba Fett to kill Palpatine, you're like, yes, yes! So what would you do? What could you do in Armada?
Well, you could do the same thing that knocks out a card. That would be pretty powerful. If you could knock Demolisher title off of Demolisher... You know
suddenly it's not some guy gets out and scrapes the paint off. Yeah. Not a Demolisher anymore, mate.
What if you know we had that MS?
I'm calling it the SS Honey Pie.
Honey G.
So we had that MS1 ion cannon that they have where it exhausts exhaustible upgrades to stop them using it. And now we all understand how that works. I can't believe it is FAQ. But what if you had a torpedo slot that you could not exhaust, but just
like put it face down for a turn or something like that?
I just think it's something useful to stop the long range of Brimer. Some kind of anti-long range torpedo gun.
Oh, we've already got those. They're called cluster bombs.
I tried. You don't get shot at. You never get shot at by Rhymer when you've got cluster bombs.
No, and let's face it, they don't do anywhere near enough damage.
No.
But that would be quite cool, yeah, because there's nothing you can put on a ship that makes it any better against Rhymer.
I think something that would just defend a bit longer range against... I know it only works against one card. It's a pretty prevalent card.
Bright Hope is the only thing I think that defends against. I mean, not specifically Rhymer, but against.
Well, that's true.
Bright Hope's amazing against.
It is Swap very good.
It's unbelievably good.
I should say, Mon Mothma's quite handy, but.
I just genuinely don't know. The cards that genuinely make differences to games are the really innocuous ones, like Bomber Command.
Yeah.
Like, it's not exciting, it's not thrilling, it's not really particularly thematic, but it's amazing because it's so consistent, it's so versatile.
Tour and Fire.
Yeah.
But then what are those cards that everyone always takes, you know, like ECMs, obviously that's huge.
Exactly, because it's just useful in every situation. Mm. It's just fundamentally a good card. It's anything that makes you more consistent is the ones that make the difference.
And it's not really much that lets you reroll reds.
No.
Nothing lets you reroll
Vader's reds. About it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, those concentrated fire tokens you're like. Yeah. But if you put something in the game that let you reroll reds, is everyone going to come back with that fire?
It would bring make them a lot stronger.
I might do something like try and work out what upgrade cards they haven't done yet. Like cool guys from the thing like C-3PO or something or R2-D2, you know, just try and work something thematic out, or do something like one card I always thought would be quite cool to have is like I'd try and do another more maybe more ship titles because I think there aren't enough titles.
Yeah, because a lot of ships have only got two titles.
Yeah, exactly. I might make like a carrier, some ship that could be a carrier would be something like whenever you activate squadrons, if they don't have bomber, they get bomber. That'd be quite cool.
Ooh,
that'd
be
quite
scary.
A cool thing to do. But you'd make it as a title for a specific ship.
With a low squadron count.
With a low squadron count. You wouldn't just say, it's 4 points, but you can stick it on an ISD with an expanded hangar and have five of them. You'd put it on like an Interdictor or Gladiator or something, or a Raider maybe.
Cool.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm never going to get the chance to do that. So it's a complete pipe dream. So let's be honest.
Yeah. People don't want to hear us talk for half an hour about cards that don't exist.
Cool. That's not the best sell, is it? Yeah.
Welcome to Hypothetical Amount.
Maybe we should do a supplementary midweek podcast where we just hypothesise about the future.
Oh.
So in that vein, let's move on to the FAQ. So Mine's on a my high budget printout is on black and white.
So oh, you had to colour it in red yourself.
I had to colour in the bits red myself, but Matt's got a
real one.
Yeah, so I think we'll just go over everything, and if it's necessary to talk about it, we'll talk about it. So the first one is Jamming Field. Two, am I right in saying there's two clarifications here?
So it's the only one that's actually an errata. All the others are clarifications. This one's actually a rewrite that changes two things about the card. To be honest, I think it was pretty obvious what the card was meant to do, but obviously it wasn't clear enough. So the two things were, people thought you could turn it off and on because it said may.
It didn't even say may. So the original wording of the card is, while a squadron at distance 1-2 is attacking or defending against a squadron, the attack is treated as obstructed. And they were saying, because it doesn't, there's some rule in the core rule book that says if there's an effect, it's an option or something, and they were trying to leverage that. But to me, if it says the attack is treated as obstructed, there's no the attack maybe. I didn't get that at all.
I think maybe they were going with the whole idea of I don't have to use my upgrades if I don't want to.
Yeah, that must be.
But now it says must. So that's
it's such a cheeky interpretation to be like, I'll shoot you with my four dice and then I'll turn it on again to reduce your counter. It's like, no, that's nonsense. That can't be how it's played.
And the other one, which I think is even more insane, was people thought that because of the way it was worded, that when a squadron is attacking or defending against a squadron, meaning that attacking anything, whether it's a squadron or not, effectively making this 2-point upgrade make you immune to all bombers.
Was insane.
They added in when he's attacking a squadron or defending against a squadron.
Right.
So they added in an extra A squadron to clarify that it doesn't make you immune to bombers.
So that's that. I mean, that was something that we kind of all interpreted exactly as that, didn't we? None of us changed how we used the card,
but it stopped people abusing the card.
I think that was an obvious one. It's annoying that they have to do that kind of thing, but I guess in a precise
I'd rather they did it than they don't
exactly.
do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just leave the arguments in the game.
Exactly,
just, let's Google it, look it up, this whatever.
Yeah, so well done for clarifying that. So the next one is something they've applied across all their events, all their game systems, which is the definitions of open, derived, and hidden information. I don't really think there's much in Armada. The example they use is most wanted. Brian forgets which ships were chosen and asks Steph which ships were chosen. She must answer honestly which she chose. She can't.
You would hope they would anyway.
I mean, I don't think much. Let's not talk about
I don't think it'll have a big impact on
it. It doesn't really have a big impact on Armada. Yeah, it's more for card games.
Big impact on the card games and stuff.
Yeah.
But, it's basically you can't lie and bullshit to your opponent.
Yeah. It's good that they.
How many dice are you about to roll?
One.
Which ships have activated yet?
Yeah.
None of them.
Yeah, exactly. None of them.
Yeah, you have to remember. You have to find out.
Yeah, wait and see if I need to demolish this turn or not.
Yeah. So it could speed it up a little bit, but no real effect. So there's the next thing, flotillas.
Yeah, flotillas are the size of their base. In case you ever get a large flotilla with like 10 transports on it, I suppose. Like on a large base.
I don't see the point of that. I read that and was like, why?
It's just future-proofing in case they bring out flotillas on a larger base, I guess.
But that's almost like a question like what ship size are ships?
Yeah.
Well, if it's a large base, it's large. If it's medium, it's medium. But I don't see why they needed to do that. Why did they need to do that?
No.
Who knows?
No. Well, it sounds like we're going to see maybe a large beast.
Yeah.
I'm probably not large, but a medium beast flotilla.
Super flotilla.
Yeah.
With just like 3 corvettes.
Maybe 2 scatter tokens.
Clarified a few points about overlapping, which is cool. We played it like that.
Yeah, because I would have thought everything happens in the sequence it happens.
Yeah.
So if you died before hitting the station,
absolutely,
you were dead.
Yeah. But it's good to have that clarified. Mm-hmm. Then if you overlap a ship, you can bump a ship to keep you inside the play area.
That was obvious anyway.
But I think we all played it as that.
Yeah.
Then this one I think is interesting because there was a question came up with this. Two guys at Big were playing this, weren't they? I think
this is when the interdictor changes your speed up temporarily.
Because I think what this is saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is it's saying because your speed dial, I think the example was the Victory was going at speed 2 and interdictor temporarily moved it to speed 1,
right?
And then
You boost
the opponent was
again.
Saying, well, right, well, I'll just navigate my speed back up to 2 using my navigate token. but I don't think that works because your dial is still at 2 and the victory's capped at 2. So you could do it if you had space, because you could so you could.
That makes the instinct a lot better than I thought it
was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's an important. And at the time, we had it wasn't the game I was playing in.
I think I've played a game where
the two guys asked you and me, didn't they?
Yeah,
Ricky, we were playing, and they came across and asked us, and we had a quick look in the fact. This was before this fact was out.
Mm.
We had a quick look, couldn't really see anything, and said, "Oh, you'll just have to roll the dice for it," because we were playing our own game. But I mean, it would have been fine if it was like an ISD and it was going at speed 2, it'd be fine because it temporarily pushes you down to 1.
Yeah.
But you then navigate your dial up to 3. Which is pushed down to 2, so you're still at 2. But because it was capped out,
makes Interdictor better against slower ships than we thought.
So I think that's a potentially an important change. What's next?
The obstructed one, just below that.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, if your line of sight is obstructed, are you obstructed?
No, but I think that's
that seems to be what that question is asking.
If you have your ship base over an obstacle. And you can tell that some of the obstacle pokes out.
Yeah.
And I think this came up at the regionals, where if you could somehow see through it, that yellow dot would be on the obstacle.
That's how we played
it. But it wasn't clearly outside of the ship base. So they sort of had to guess and say, oh, it's probably obstructed because the yellow dot's on the obstacle.
Mm.
But it's saying that...
That's exactly what it's saying, because you trace line of sight from yellow dot to yellow dot. Range is measured from the edge of cardboard.
It's not part of a visible portion.
Yeah, the trace line it's visible portion. So it's saying.
So if your back end is on an obstacle,
what about the dial?
You're shooting at your front, you're not obstructed.
The dial covers up a chunk as well, so that would.
It's saying if you're on the edge of an obstacle and the yellow dot is behind the obstacle, but the obstacle doesn't poke out above your base, you're not obstructed.
Right.
Is what it's saying, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, if it doesn't poke outside of your base, then you don't really know.
Yeah.
Because there's no way of telling for sure, do you get the benefit of the doubt?
It's good for them to clarify that.
Yeah, at least we know. Good
clarification. Advanced gunnery?
Yeah, advanced.
This is just slave turrets they've changed there, isn't it?
No, it's also just confirming if you've got gunnery team.
That was in the previous fact.
Yeah,
that was before.
I think all they've added this one is the slave turrets.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So basically, advanced gunnery doesn't overwrite any upgrade cards.
Yeah. That's consistent, at least.
Yeah.
And then we've got Montferrat, is it?
Yeah. Next. So it's basically if a ship gets a crit that says you can't shoot if your attack is obstructed, you can't shoot in a Montferrat ship because the attack would count as obstructed.
Oh, yeah, wow. that's actually come up in one of my games.
Which just reminds me of the Carda one. I want a Super Dodonna mixed with Kraken. So I can give everyone...
So everyone's obstructed with Kraken. You have to pick out the crits. That sounds amazing.
Crack Donna?
Maybe we can do that in the last game of Corellian.
Ah, we'll merge the Admirals.
Yeah. Then we've got Constantine, which is just a clarification of how it reacts with a certain crit.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Comms net, which I think we all played it as it is there anyway, didn't we?
Yeah,
I thought this was obvious, but apparently
it's basically saying exactly the same, isn't it? This can only be resolved after the reveal command R step, and the card says after the reveal command R step.
Yeah.
So what's the?
But it was a case of people saying, right, I'll pass that token away, and then I'll use this command.
Yeah, but that was obvious.
But that's what the card already says.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, it stops you from already having a you have a fighter token on your transport, and you reveal a navigation order. You take that nav order into a token. You can't then give that nav token away to another ship.
Because you have to choose which token you're keeping before you...
Well, so you can pass that nav token away, but you would lose the fighter token you already have.
Yeah. So that's why they were keeping it, because they were pretending they hadn't lost it.
Yeah.
But that ruling, the way that that's phrased, to me, that doesn't change the way the card's phrased in any way, does it?
I can't see the difference.
Are they just putting it in there to say, look, guys, when we really mean this?
Yeah,
maybe just everyone was doing it. Maybe they just... Well, because it's an FAQ. Maybe they literally had hundreds of people asking them the same question, so they were like... Fine, if this isn't obvious, clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Devastator.
Another obvious one.
Yeah, so if you get your defense tokens back with Devastator and Taggy, I suppose, then you don't keep building up dice.
Mm. Yeah, that would be hilarious. But no.
Although, as you said earlier, Ben, 10 points is ridiculously overpriced. So
crazy,
so basically,
isn't it?
if that wasn't there and you were allowed to build that up, it might just be
still,
worth
still would probably still be probably overpriced. Because it's actually quite hard to burn all your defense tokens on an ISD.
It's good for
you could just use just get accuracy.
But you could you could just use them.
You can Intel Officer your own tokens.
Can you?
You can. Yeah, it's clarified in here.
Yeah,
Intel Officer. Wow. And a ship with this card equipped can choose one of its own defense tokens when resolving this card.
Ah, there we go. So Vader, Intel Officer, Devastator. It's like the most expensive shit combo ever imagined.
It costs you 50 points to get one extra blue dice.
Well, until they put in the Ion Cannon upgrade that gives you a front-facing blue dice, we've just got to take what you can get.
And then the next one, we actually had a massive debate about the other week.
Fire control team. Yeah.
And this is ridiculous. I think it's the correct ruling, and this is the ruling that
By the letter of the rules, this is the way it should
work. But what makes it ridiculous is, as you pointed out, Ricky, in the article when they released, which ship does this come
Liberty.
With?
Liberty, yeah.
When the article, when they released it, they went, you can do such great things, such as XX Knight, do 3 crits with XX Knights, and then they've actually had
to say,
so the
article said,
it doesn't work.
You do your regular crit, and then you use Fire Control Team to activate a second crit on your XX9s, dealing a total of 3 face-up cards. But the rules, because XX9's worded weirdly and says the first, not an additional card is flipped face-up, but the first two.
Yeah. And then standard crit effect says the first card that's dealt face-down
so
is dealt
face-up. So they don't stack, unfortunately, which is a shame, because I thought that was a cool combo and it'd be good
it's
to have seen more XX9s.
Although for me, though, you must hear this in lots of different gaming podcasts and theories.
Mm.
If a card helps you win more, it's not actually very good.
Yeah, win more cards are not.
Win more cards are not great because you don't need them to get you.
If you're already winning.
So if you're already doing 2 crits plus at least one more face down to a guy, he's probably in a bit of trouble. Unless it's an ISD.
It just means how often are you ever going to use fire control teams?
Has anyone used it?
Because it takes up your gunnery team slot or your ordnance expert slot. That's the problem.
Yeah,
and it's an exhaust as well.
You can't even use it on a double arc.
So if you stack.
You might get some mileage out of Screed, but it wouldn't be like tier 1. It would be like in a.
That's because those two other upgrades are so powerful. Just anything to make less used cards more useful would have been nice.
At the down the list, it should work.
It would make like a demolisher shot really nice. If you soften something up and put minimal shields on it, you could APT and normal crit, or you could do something with an ion cannon maybe out of the front of an ISD.
I know, but then you're giving up your gunnery teams on the ISD or your ordnance experts on demolisher.
What great is it?
It's a shame. It's a real shame.
GA experimental projector. What do they change here? Should I get original?
It just clarifies that you can do it on an engine tech.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So if you don't use it on their first move, you use it when they engine tech, and then they basically don't get to engine tech.
Yeah.
Which is good because that's a nerf on demolisher.
Yeah.
There's possibly.
And a buff on Interdictor.
Yeah, exactly.
it's a
win-win, really, isn't it?
Interdictor's top of the take the station meta.
So that's good. I mean, that's the way I read the card.
Yeah,
Medine
doesn't stack with nav teams, which is a shame.
But nobody used nav teams.
I tried it. Once.
With Medine. Okay.
With Medine, yeah. How
did it work out?
I wish I had engine techs instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are more expensive now.
Yeah, they are more expensive.
But only like 2 points or something, aren't they?
And we got a few things about recons.
Yeah, so they just clarified. Ships and squadrons are removed before resolving end of round or end of game effects, but
that's what it says already. Because it's the end of the status phase. It comes before the end of the turn. This came up quite recently with us. We were playing fire lanes, and Recon ships die before you add up your fire lane dice, because fire lane's done at the very end of the turn.
It's 2-1 then.
Yeah, that's right. So that clarifies the way that we did it.
Cool.
And the Ruthless Strategic.
So you can keep ruthlessing up your...
I kind of thought you could do that anyway.
Well, that's the way the rules are written, but I guess they just wanted to say, you think this is a bit overpowered? Yeah, it is over.
You carry on.
Over
well, after they said that, like, although you have to still keep shooting Recon escort ships.
Yeah.
This
had to be.
This had to be true as well, if that was true.
Although, it's not really a big deal, because who uses ruthless strategists in a
I have it in one of my lists. to try.
Well, that's it, because none of the rebel carriers have the gunnery team
exactly.
slot for it.
Yeah.
You'd have to have an assault frigate in there, which isn't great for recon.
Yeah. Okay, grab shift, reroute.
Oh, yeah, so your dangerous territory tokens move with your terrain.
They're not going to stay, were they?
No. Well, they might have done, because it does say you don't move the tokens. On the card, it says don't move the tokens, don't overlap tokens. So I think that actually did need clearing up for dangerous territory.
Mm. Is that the only change? Move any overlapped squadron out of the way? Place the obstacle?
Can't play some underships?
And they just clarify, because the original card says you can't overlap tokens, obstacles, or ships, but it doesn't say you can't overlap squadrons. So it's just clarifying that you put the squadron in the same place. You just put the token under the squadron. It's fine.
Yeah.
Are you getting any position, actually? So they did change it. So the player who's not moving the obstacle gets to place the squadrons in any position.
Just as if they've been moving.
So you could theoretically give you a little, like your TIE fighters, a bit of a boost forward.
No, because if you move it, the other guy places them. So
you don't really want to be doing it that much.
No, but that is an actual change. So,
is there much power to?
And the rotation thing as well. I guess that's a clarification.
Well, it stops arguments, which is always good.
Yeah,
we've not really used the Interdictor enough. I've never seen anyone use the card that moves them.
No, I think it's one of the better cards. I'm surprised people don't use it more.
Yeah,
but again, and this is what dominates the Take the Station meta.
Take the station. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not going to take it, but I'm going to bring it closer to me.
I really want to see that happen in the game.
No, but it's not even a game. Like, literally, you can't lose if you take engine techs and grav shift rerig. You drag the station closer to you. You make one of the other players speed zero with whatever that's called, and then you just engine tech towards the station. You cannot get there.
And you put this
behind anyone else.
But you always get there first.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't die, you win the game.
You put MS1 ion cannons on, so you zap their engine techs as well.
So is it literally just four interdictors and they go, I'm going to move it here. And I'm going to move it back.
Man, whoever's last player in that.
That'll be a fun game.
Yeah.
Next, MS1 ion cannons.
Yeah.
Again, that's kind of...
So, funnily enough, your 2-point upgrade doesn't mean that Akbar doesn't work for a turn.
Surprise, surprise.
Who would have thought?
But that's... It's just clarifying, isn't it? Because the rules are written that way. Because the rules only say you can't use a card that's... You can't exhaust a card that's exhausted. They don't say you can't use a card that's exhausted.
Yeah.
They just say you can't re-exhaust it.
You would hope they would think you'd have to have exhaust on it.
So if it's something that doesn't need you to exhaust, then it doesn't...
Well, it's good to clarify, but I'm surprised people needed that one.
So tournament regulations. I've got that here as well. We can just flick through those very briefly. So the changes on that, we've got... I don't know why they put this in. They've said they've clarified that it only applies to fleet building rules that mandate 400 points maximum. So, assuming it's saying these don't apply when you're playing a friendly campaign game at home,
or if someone ever runs a tournament that's like 300 points or something like that, because the margin of victories will be different.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Then we've got they've just defined marshal, judge, and player. They've just done the roles, and I guess that's in time for worlds and big tournaments that need proper. Things defined, but it also tells like who can do what sort of thing. So the marshal is the
he's the guy with the badge and the hat.
Yeah, basically
rounding out bad guys.
The judge.
Oh, really? Spectator? That's cool.
Yeah, so you've got spectator.
It's actually against the rules to have your friend help you out.
Yeah, disturb an ongoing game,
because that happens a lot in if you. Well, I had a load of people when I was at Nationals.
Yeah.
Loads of people came because we were on the top table at the end. Like, we had a crowd of 10 people on each side watching. And
really?
People were saying stuff. I was trying to ignore it.
Yeah.
I think you can.
Now you can call the marshal over.
They are officially breaking the spectator rule now.
Man, but then who gets... What happens if that happens?
Nothing. It just says you can't do it.
Right.
Otherwise, you're a very naughty boy.
Right. Trade embargo or something, I guess, if you break that one.
Lifetime ban from all future. And then they just clarify here where leaders can play in relaxed tournaments. Then they've defined unsporting conduct. They've just clarified that this is a game for two players.
Fantastic.
They've added in you have to use the same list for the tournament, which everybody did anyway. But
oh wow! I missed out on that loophole.
Yeah.
So what have you got with you? Right, shuffle.
Yeah. I've got 15 lists that are all max geared to like min max against all the
messes.
Just
gonna rock paper scissors the shit out of this one.
And then they've clarified that you cannot have the non campaign missions. Missions.
Right.
You now have to add your name to your fleet list. You have to identify a card. So if you have Vader on your as Admiral, you have to make clear that you have Vader Admiral in brackets. You can't put Vader because it could be misinterpreted as the squadron card.
Oh, but you just paid the wrong points for him.
But also, it's
and
on
didn't
your
bring
ship.
An Admiral.
It's in the upgrade column on your ship list.
Fair enough. Well, you never know what's going to come
exactly,
forward. There might be like 40 different hands in the future
and,
or something
like that. Well, no, yeah. And it might be. Well,
this is it. This is going to be in the campaign. There's going to be
more squadrons
of the same people already in the game.
Well, there'll be different names, but they're the same squadron types. They might be, but we don't know.
There might be a Rican.
Rican
as the wing pilot.
You'd have to be pretty fucking good for you to forfeit not having him as your admiral.
He leads the escape from Hoth, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to be on a flotilla or something.
Oh man, interesting.
As you can't have him.
No, I doubt he's going to be in the game. It's another one of those things.
Well, as a commander, instead
of that's been across the various game systems. Like it's very important for their card games now that you've got. So,
there must be so many different versions of like
funnily enough, that is one of them.
So they've then clarified some stuff on tokens, which is all fairly noddy. It's just you can use whatever you like as tokens as long as it's clear what their purpose is.
Oh, okay, so you can buy. You don't have to have FFG ones, for example. You bought some chronic tokens.
Yeah. But it says that they're not allowed to obscure significant component information, so you can't have like a dial.
You can't have a six-inch nav token that goes over your ship.
Or you can't have, and they have to be unambiguous. So you can't have like the cog symbol for an engineering with a little concentrated fire explosion. And put it down, and then it goes, "Oh right, I took some damage. I wasn't expecting. Oh, engineering." You can't do that.
Man, that'd be really cheeky if someone had double-sided token.
Yeah.
You're not giving out
ideas. Just like a sleight of hand. Oh, yeah, it was actually
like old command dials that are like really hard to read. You flip it over and go, I was a squadron all along, I promise.
Oh, my God.
Although I do find the squadron and the concentrate fire look similar from a distance.
Promise, cheater's going to cheat. It's not going to really...
And then they said you can only use official Star Wars Armada components other than tokens.
Oh.
And range rulers that match the dimensions of an official range ruler, which is
so
you're still allowed to use them, but the marshal can check them at any time.
Which is because the plastic ones, the acrylic ones they gave out for regionals aren't the same.
They're not the same length.
They're one mil longer, and some of the range boundaries are slightly different.
But not even from the cardboard. The two of them are different lengths. The two I've got. So the range one. So the one you get in the box is reversible. So it's by definition both sides are the same length.
Yeah.
But the green ones.
One side's got squadrons on. Squadron.
Yeah, but they're different sticks.
They're two different sticks. Yeah.
And one's longer than the other by a millimetre.
That's a win or a lose. That
and
is
some
right
of
there.
The some of the range boundaries are different to the cardboard ones as well. I forget off the top of my head. I did line them up with each other, and they were just off by like a mil or two.
Yeah.
That's important.
I've almost every game I have a shot that's like
marginal.
You're not quite sure if it's in or out.
Yeah.
Keep them out on the table, and then if it looks iffy, you go with the longest one. It's a legitimate ruler. It's from the game.
Yeah,
so basically,
gave it to me.
What this FAQ has done is it shut down. You can't have 15 lists and pick the best one. You can't pick whichever of your range rulers is best for the situation, and you can't have tokens that you can't tell what they are. So
the
you
game is ruined.
What?
How are we going to cheat now?
Oh, dear.
No, it's all good.
They've then clarified everything is... all components are legal for standard play, except for the green objective cards.
Right.
So, we knew that anyway, but it's good to have it in the things. They've just clarified the organiser should communicate the details of the event to players ahead of time. So putting an event on the internet at 9:30 for 9:45 that day, not allowed, not officially banned.
Yeah.
It also says prior to the first round, if the marshal wants, they can mandate each player manually verifies their opponent's fleet list. So, I guess that's just...
I guess to stop the...
List check.
Or to save the marshal having to check 30
all the lists. Yeah, exactly. Missed opportunities, they've clarified. But it says here it's all players' responsibility to ensure all mandatory abilities are acknowledged. So you shouldn't...
All players.
Yeah, so you shouldn't... if there's something that's mandatory... So if you're like, if you're Recon, if you've got a Recon or something like that, you shouldn't rely on the other player to remind you that
your ship's dead,
yeah. Because it's a mandatory state and it's your responsibility as well.
It's like jamming fields. Like, you could forget to use your own jamming fields whenever it suited you.
Yes.
And then
but it's your responsibility. You're basically saying you're kind of cheating if you don't. If you forget and your opponent forgets, you're
about... Well, I don't want to not shooting if someone forgets to take their shot.
That's not mandatory.
No, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. It's only mandatory.
Because quite often people forget to move their ships. I know that sounds dumb, but like you do your shooting and your squadrons, and then you're oh yeah, I forgot to move. I don't know what that... Does that change anything? Like, if I forget to tell my opponent that he didn't move his ship, is that...
I guess if it was to your advantage.
It doesn't...
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't say... it doesn't say there's any consequence, but it kind of just implies... Don't be a dick. Like,
yeah,
implies that you should really, really
heavily his rules. Yeah,
you should remember.
Just in bold, don't be a dick.
So yeah, and then I mean, this was already there, but I do think this is important, which is the players are expected to act with respect and not intentionally distract or rush an opponent with the intent of forcing a missed opportunity. Mm. So when I heard that, I don't think it was necessarily deliberate, but that happened to the guy who does the... what's that other podcast? Fire When Ready?
Yeah.
Did you hear that episode?
I did, and I've forgotten the details.
I think he basically had Dash.
Hmm. Oh, and no, shot. It was Ham.
Was it Ham?
Okay. And the guy just started doing his first activation.
No, because I thought it was Dash, and when you do a squadron, you can shoot, then move.
And
Dash shot
and then wanted to move
but there some defense token stuff happened and there was a distraction, and then the other guy carried on with his squadrons. So Dash didn't get moved because it's not mandatory. He doesn't have to go back and move, and then Dash was on one health and was in a position to get shot, died, and it was like
cost him the game because
24 points went from a 6-5 to a 5-6.
Oh wow.
And the points.
And that was intentionally done by...
We don't know if it was intentional.
No, he didn't say whether it was intentional or not, but I think there was,
because you could easily do that.
The time was running out, it was quick, so...
Like, especially with Han, that's very easily done. If the other guy... If you've got Han and the other guy's going first, you've got to be really quick and get in there before he starts revealing his command dial.
It happened a load. I mean, Matt and I were playing casual, so it was fine for me to do it, but because Matt was the first player... And Tarkin is the start of the ship.
Oh, so if you're second player with Tarkin.
Matt just kept going, you ready with your dials? Yeah, right. I mean, not he was intentionally trying
to. No.
Obviously, he let me as soon as I activated.
But technically speaking, like in a tournament.
Exactly. If you're first player, you can just go, if you're first player, you can go, right, I'm going to do this. I've got the. Oh, you wanted to do Tarkin? Sorry, I've revealed my dial. It's too late.
Yeah, true.
Which is breaking that rule. So, they've also. Bumped up the final of a round. So if you go to the cut, the final is 180 minutes, so you get 3 hours.
Jesus. The game's already long enough as it is.
So your Demolisher MSU versus Demolisher MSU in the final list become even longer.
At least they've not changed the
And then they've time. Just clarified that you shouldn't play against the same opponent more than once. And then they're talking about this progression cut thing. And then they've formally put how you can drop.
Okay.
So you don't end up playing.
Yeah, ruin the tournament.
Yep. And then they've got, in terms of buys, they've just clarified a buy is... was it a concession on there? Somewhere they've got concessions. Maybe that's future. Yeah, a buy is 140 and a MOV and 8 tournament points. Some stuff on Swiss, which is all fine. The lowest player gets a buy, which is 8-140. Yeah, and then they talk about this progression cut thing, which is the winner of the tournament doesn't win. They have to cut and play some more, like play top 4, top 8, top 16.
Oh,
God, how long is that going
to
go?
We'll come to this. I think it's on the next page or the next page after. You only get a progression cut in certain circumstances. So, like, spring kits and stuff don't have to have a progression cut. It's basically only nationals or big regionals.
Hmm.
Bit about dropping. Dropping.
So they just want to drag out for it to last longer, for more days.
I think it technically gives a slightly more accurate result.
Who's the best
it
player?
It makes sure that the best people all play each other,
yeah.
And you don't get a situation where two guys won all their games, but they didn't play each other,
yeah.
And then one of them had one more point than the other guy.
Yeah.
That's what you want to avoid.
Like when I won at regionals, where my first game was against the tournament organizer, who basically had never really played before, so I just absolutely wiped the floor with them and got a 10-0. And then I was in a great position, whereas some of you guys had some hard matchups. I just basically got a walkover. It wasn't even a bye because it was just it wasn't even like an 8-2.
Yeah.
If the tournament organizer hadn't stepped in to make the numbers up, I would have just got a bye.
An 8-2
is the odd player in the first round. So I was actually able to jump ahead of all the guys who'd won store champs because they used their bye to get 8-2. I got to play the tournament organizer who had like a I thought he even had like because he didn't really he'd never really played.
So someone else had written his list for him.
And it was janky. Like he had combos that didn't work.
Mm.
Like I think he had Avenger. He had Overload Pulse on Avenger.
That's it. So it doesn't even work. Yeah.
So
double arcing, I suppose.
Yeah. Good. But with an ISD front arc.
Yeah, not likely.
Yeah. And then this is quite cool. So they've said if your opponent concedes,
mm-hmm.
you get 148 points unless you would have scored more.
So you can't force draw anymore.
Well, you can't just concede for 8 necessarily. So if you're already
getting 10-0'd in the old rules, you could have just said, "Well, I give up. You only get 8 points now."
Yes.
Oh, shit, man! Well, I'm glad they changed that.
All of their ships and squadrons get destroyed, and then you work out the score. So if you set up and then went, "Oh, I give up." You in theory get a 10-0 because none of your stuff's dead and all of their stuff's dead. So you
unless
get
you're playing hyperspace assault, I guess.
No, because any ships that don't get deployed,
yeah,
count as destroyed.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Specifically says that.
So even like my assault is in hyperspace. Right.
Oh, you're only your opponent,
and
yeah,
then he gives up.
That's what you mean. Yeah. That would be hot. That would be ridiculous. So yeah, so that's quite. I think that's quite good. They've clarified that. Margin of victory MOV stands for margin of victory. We kind of knew that. And then, yeah, so this is the progression cut. So if you have 28 players or less, you don't get a cut.
Hmm.
If you get 29 to 44, you cut to top two after 4 Swiss rounds. So this regional we're going to in Cardiff, if we get 29 players, it will be a 5 game.
Oh, just for the last top two.
But if we get 28 or less, it will be a 3 game. So if we get
one extra person adds 2 games on.
Yeah. But well, only for the only top for the two.
So that'd
as
be
long
just
as
like
no one's in the final. Sports. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, nationals would be the 45-90,
right.
Which is 5 Swiss rounds.
And then a final.
And then a final.
So if we want to go home in any good amount of time, none of us can
we'll lift share for that, right? So
if one of us is in the final, and the other guy's just got to sit there and silently wait.
Yeah, they've got to be, they're now defined as spectators.
For 3 hours now, because the final lasts 3 hours.
Right, I'm saying this now, we drive 2 cars there. Yeah. One car we drive back.
One winner's car and one loser's car.
I'm getting a train, or if it looks like that's going to happen, I'll concede to my opponent so he wins like outright, so you guys get bumped down out of the top two so I can go home.
Wow. You're gonna have
10 points.
You're gonna steal the nickname Dream Crush.
That seem a bit
that's a long day though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the thing is these are designed for like Game of Thrones and stuff where it's an hour or X-Wing an hour and a half for a round.
Have they not played these games?
Well, to be fair, like the cuts are much lower. So like you've got 3, 4, 5, and then you've got no cut, top two, top four. In X-Wing, it's like the cuts are top 8 always. So there's an extra 3 game, or in a lot of the bigger tournaments, so the fact they're only doing 2 or 4. But I guess certainly here, Nationals was what, 60, 70 people, was it?
No.
50.
So Nationals, which has got to be the biggest, most... They did top two anyway, didn't they?
Yeah, so that's exactly what they did.
They did exactly, which is printed there, which is five top two. I've never been to a tournament that's had more than 28 players, so I don't
think it really affects us that much.
Shouldn't really affect us much, no. Unless it's at a convention, in which case you're looking at a whole weekend anyway.
Mm. But it's growing.
It's growing.
It's growing, yeah.
Do we know how many tickets? Although they do list it, November is capped, isn't it?
Yeah, November sold 16. Out, but it was only 16.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Did it sell out?
Yeah, I bought one of the last ones.
Have you got one as well, Ricky?
I bought my ticket. I'm all good.
You bought one?
I bought both, so.
Yeah. Pretty sure I have bought one.
Are you sure?
I bought one, yeah.
So that's, we're going to, so yeah, for the listeners, that's, they're doing a summer kit in Cardiff Firestorm Games in November. Which I guess is the same kit we just did here in Bristol, so there's no extra opportunity
for XI7.
Another XI7.
Or another Slave 1.
Another Slave 1 would be nice, because I use it all the time.
Last shot for me to get the last coin. This is the last coin they're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, will it complete your collection then?
Then I'll have all the coins if I get this one.
I thought you needed 8 or something.
Well, I wanted 6 as turn.
Did you get a regional one?
It's a bit lame, but yeah.
Because you got like third or something at the regional.
Yeah, I got the regional, I got the store championship, got the nationals, got the yeah, I got all of them except for this summer kit.
And the kits that what happened yeah, the wave before one you
stuff.
Played.
Yeah, I don't have any of the wave one stuff.
Yeah, good effort. Cool. So that's the FAQ and tournaments thing. Anybody got any comments or want to say anything out of that? I mean, it's fairly standard FAQ. They didn't nerf anything, turn anything down. They just clarified stuff.
No, yeah, it's all just good clarifications. Yeah.
Everything in X-Wing, everyone flipped their shit when the FAQ came.
Oh, yeah.
A bit in Armada, we were all like, yeah, this is how we interpreted it. I was surprised to learn that jamming field was interpreted another way.
Yeah,
yeah, same here.
I wasn't even aware of it, though. Because I thought it was like self... evident that a 2-point upgrade was never going to be that powerful.
It was the first time we'd actually played with it, though, to be fair, and then
but the way I mean, in the article, not that the articles are written rules as the XX9 ruling.
There's another one where shows, done that.
But there is in that article where they released it, they did say jamming field affects both people,
right?
When they did their little example,
have you found much use from jamming field?
It was amazing. Who's using it? It works really well.
It's Chris's list
because it neutralizes Dengar, right? Is like if they have a Rhino ball,
it shuts down
with Dengar.
Yeah, because then it stops the counter. Yeah.
Bomber's only got one dice, so they do nothing, which was very useful at that time. I think
it made it harder for you to thin me out, but it definitely was in your favour.
What's the range on it, though? Because Reimer's range was longer than the jamming field range, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we took out...
You managed to one-shot my Jumpmaster, didn't you?
And then the other one as well.
And then killed Dengar as well, so I didn't have intel. So all my bombers were just sat in a jamming field going, well, I can't shoot the ship.
And I can't move.
But I can shoot their fighters, but I only have one die. I have one die. So my bombers literally do nothing.
That's pretty cool.
So at the right time, in the right place.
Yeah.
Really good.
It's just hard to justify it over repair crews or something.
Right Hope as well. Meant that even when I did have them...
Your Jump Masters died, you still couldn't hurt it.
I had to get a double. I had to get a hit crit just to get one damage from Right Hope. So yeah.
It's good. Situational.
I think it's awesome if you're just going to bomb people and not worry about getting shot by. You're not worried shooting enemy squadrons because you're just going to put Jan or Dengar or Intel in and just fire.
Yeah, through. And then just gives you extra survivability.
Just makes you survive for longer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're not worried about taking out their squadrons too much.
Yeah, or if you know that a lot of people are taking small A-wing screens.
Yeah,
then it's really good.
Two
against
dice
that.
Instead of three,
and then their counter goes down by one as well.
Yeah.
So they're really not going to do a lot to you.
Probably going to see it more.
Yeah.
And it's good if you've got lists where you're relying on a lot of squadron activations anyway, you can move your guys.
Yeah, you can get your Alpha Strike in and then drive the jamming fields up after you've shot.
Yeah.
You can make a new list now.
Yeah, whereas if you're using rogues, because they don't action phase.
Yeah, they go at the end.
Your jamming fields already, yeah. So, cool. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back for some list discussion.
A death march, not an easy thing to live with.
Welcome back. So now we're going to talk about some lists, list each, something that's stuff that we're playing at the moment. Talk it through, talk through the strengths and weaknesses, and then open it up to the floor to critique, approve, pan it, whatever's necessary. So I'm going to start. So this is a list we briefly talked about at the end of episode one. It's the 8 Gazantes and Tarkin list that won German Nationals. So I've actually played one game with it, but I've since amended it. So what I'll do is just give a quick overview of the list as it was, and then I'll run through what the changes I've made. So it's 8 Gazantes, 1 has Tarkin on, 3 have Bomber Command, 3 have boosted comms, and 1 is Vector with an expanded hangar bay. That means it can, with a token and a squadron order, it can activate 4 squadrons, which I think the intention there is there's 4 TIE fighters. So I think the intention was to alpha strike with the 4 TIE fighters because they got speed 5. But for me, it's kind of pointless because you've got 2 intels. I don't really like that vector mechanic. So anyway, that's that. And then it's got exactly 134 points of squadrons across 13 squadrons. There's 6 TIE bombers, 4 TIE fighters, Dengar, Reimer, and a Jumpmaster.
Is Reimer one of the 6, or is he
nope.
on top of the
he's
6?
He's a 7.
Right.
7 bombers.
Yep.
7
and if you can get them within
3 bomber commands.
Yep.
So hang on, so you've got 7 bombers, 6, how many fighters?
4 TIE fighters.
4 TIE fighters, Dengar.
And Reimer. And a Jumpmaster.
And a Jumpmaster, spare Jumpmaster. Yeah, you've got that many bombers, you need 2 intels in case, because you're going to lose one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
That makes sense.
It's such a large number. You'll have trouble just finishing. We know how long it went for, but...
Yeah. The objectives are precision strike, contested outposts, and superior positions, which is the ones when I was playing Fireball, heavy squadrons, those are just the standard 3 for if you've got squadron heavy. Subsequent to that, so I played one game with that against Ricky the other week, and it was, what was it, like four and a half hours or something to play? Because you had a Yavaris build with 134 points of squadron, so it was a really intense squadron.
I think it was like over 3 hours.
Yeah.
It was, Well past the limit of the tournament.
I also didn't like Vector in that, and there's a few other bits I did like, and they're all blue Gazantes, by the way, all the cheap ones.
Right.
I thought, well, actually, what difference does an 8th activation make over 7? Like, there's no other lists I'm going to be playing that have 7 activations where I need that extra 8th one.
Yeah.
So why not beef up and get a red die on a couple of them? And the other reason I was doing that is because I found the cheap Gazanti has black anti-squadron, and often, really often, I had stuff like Jan Ors was in range of about 3 of them, was out of range of about 3 of them, all in blue range.
Right.
I just couldn't finish her off. So I thought, well, I'll put some of those in, and I also wanted to give it a bit more flexibility. The danger here is that it might take me even longer to play because every ship is configured slightly differently. Whereas before, you could just go numbers 1, 2, and 3, they're bomber command, 4, 5, and 6 are boosted comms, the one with the token is admiral, and 7 is vector, or whatever. So I've now changed it to, so this is the list we'll actually talk about. It's Assault Gazanti, that's the one with the red die, boosted comms Agent Callus, another assault carrier, boosted comms Slicer Tools, another assault carrier, Suppressor, Bomber Command Centre, and then 4 blues. 1 has Tarkin, 2 just have Bomber Command, vanilla with Bomber Command, and then the last one has boosted comms and a jamming field. So I've basically, the points there, I've got Callus in there for, like, character squadrons.
Channels.
Channels. And he's, importantly, he's on the blue, so he's got the extra range. And then I've got Suppressor, which is awesome. Slicer Tools and a Jamming Field. They're kind of the extra bits. And I've then, the fighter setup's basically the same. So again, it's 6 bombers and Reimer, a Jumpmaster and Dengar. But I've changed the 4 TIE fighters to 2 TIE fighters and Mauler. Just because he's better at plinking stuff, and with the jamming field as well. Like, you can just jump
him. Guaranteed damage.
Yeah. And the thing I love for him as well is, like, when you have counter, like A-Wings or something, or Jam, and they're on 1 damage, you're like, oh, I have to throw a TIE fighter in, it will probably die from the counter.
Yeah.
Whereas Mauler can just finish them off with...
I was just thinking that for jamming field there, it says for attacking and defending, otherwise everything would be able to be moved. You're obstructed.
Yeah, I thought that for a moment. Maybe you could fly away.
Yeah, not from the wording.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
Just from the shooting.
Yeah.
And then it's got similar objectives, but I changed the red one to opening salvo, which talk about in a minute on the game Matt and I played today. But as Matt said at the time, this is not the objective you're looking for. This is not the red objective you're looking for.
Yeah, because in theory, so, 14 extra dice sounds amazing, doesn't it?
Well, like I said, I killed Foresight from clean with two Gazantes.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. Was it three, maybe? Was it four arcs or something?
It's very easy to double arc with Gazantes.
Four arcs or something? I don't know. Anyway, Foresight sat next to two Gazantes and it died before it got to fly away because of opening salvo. But I also lost at least two, probably three Gazantes because of opening salvo. Because your transport with one blue die at the front.
Yes!
put the hit on
salvo and concentrate fire.
Then you actually took an arm transport.
He didn't kill. He didn't kill me, but he got me down to one health.
So that transport was rolling four dice.
It's because of the blue anti squadron, isn't it?
I upgraded to the blue ones just because I prefer the blue.
I think it's worth the cost sometimes on those.
Not that many more points.
Yeah. So. I played this list today against Matt's, Medine list.
Yeah.
And I took some beats. I ended up with two Gazantes, but basically all my squadrons were left. you had some A-wings that just died, and then I managed to kill Admin, and I killed Foresight and a couple of TRC vets and Bright Hope because... And I didn't even play it that well because I forgot I had a second bomber command in range for the first time round. So I wasn't, because the key here is that you can re-roll with multiple bomber commands.
Mm.
So what you do is you roll the first one, and unless you get a hit crit, you just re-roll it, hoping for a hit crit.
And if you get a blank, re-roll.
You've got another re-roll to help you.
Mm.
So it means you can really go for that hit crit, which is a lot of hit crits with like seven bombers.
Should they ever bring that into the FAQ that you can only reroll once?
No, it's already covered in the main rules. You can reroll a dice as many times as you want, as long as each reroll is caused by a different entity.
They could end up putting it as like a different effect, a different unique effect. Like you can only do one bomber command.
But I mean, you still got to pay for all those.
You do.
And you've got to keep them all in range.
Yeah. So that was... And I wasn't even leveraging that properly. I got my deployment in a bit of a mess and didn't end up. I managed to not bump myself at all, which looked dicey at some point in time. So when I played Ricky, I just flew with one line and flew them all the same way. It's like a kind of gun line around the side.
Mm.
But what I found was some ships were able to, like, rebel ships were able to fly away from the line. And even with boosted comms, I didn't have the range for the bombers to go after them and finish them off.
Because you think boosted comms and Rhymer would be...
Yeah, but because I'm flying that way and he's flying that way.
For everyone listening, that's opposite directions.
180 degrees opposite. So this time around, I basically deployed two lines facing opposite ways and then threw them both round kind of... parallel lines kind of swirling around. It's kind of a bomber list. You don't really like it, Ben. You didn't really want it to be successful because it's boring.
I think it's an interesting concept, like a fun novelty list, but if it's super powerful,
it's not.
I'd be disappointed because I don't want to see that covering all the tables in the tournament.
It's not. You know, and the thing is, people as well, Armada's not the kind of, as we've already mentioned, it's not the kind of game where people go out and buy all the spam. People go and they take lists that they want to play with, that they enjoy, that are fun. I can't see people go, oh, that's the best thing, right, fine, I'll order eight Gazantes.
But higher level, that ends up being...
But that's what, you know, that's what happens in X-Wing.
Yeah. Yeah.
People go in and bought three Jump Masters, but that aren't even in the films.
Yeah, but that's not even... that's not a huge expenditure, though, is it?
Yeah, they're like 30 quid each.
Yeah. X-Wing tournaments are more heavily populated and more serious.
Yeah, but, you know, people do it. You know, people do it with Games Workshop stuff all the time.
Yeah, but yeah, it's cool and it's fun, but it's not super powerful. It's not going to be like, it's got the strengths it's got are, there's some, the Tarkin makes it super flexible, which is awesome, and it's all one command, so it's super flexible, which is awesome. The people forget actually get surprised how the or I was surprised how powerful the Gazantes can hit if you concentrate firepower, order them. And give them a concentrate firepower token every turn.
And double arc.
You can actually really plink shields off, and then your bombers can go in and finish off. And you can even do, like, if you you don't even need to give squadron orders to guys necessarily, because you can give Tarkin to give 7 squadron tokens and activate 7 squadrons.
Just on tokens.
And still, yeah. if you're in a bind and you need an extra click to get out of it, or you need to repair to get a damage card off you for...
And often if Rhino's in the right place, you don't even necessarily need a squadron order.
Exactly.
A lot of your bombers can just shoot from where they are.
When you're down to 2 Gazantes, you're like, well...
Yes.
So that's still at maximum firepower for the bombers.
Yeah, yeah, because you were just flying right into the cloud, weren't you?
I just couldn't
avoid the cloud. So
I set up a turn to try and AA the cloud as much as possible, and it's just not worth it.
Because the bombers are like 9, they're 9 points, but they're so hard to kill.
5 points, yeah.
Really hard to thin them down. So, yeah, its strength obviously is against anything that doesn't have a good anti-fighter screen. But I think
you're not bringing an awful lot of anti-fighter stuff, are you?
No, but Mauler and Dengar, and because of the Dengar counters, that thins people down quite a lot.
No escorts either, though.
No escorts. But you can
two jump masters.
But they die pretty quick.
Hmm.
Well, Dengar doesn't, because he's got the scatter.
I guess you hang the vanilla Jumpmaster hangs right back until Dengar's dead and then comes in as a backup. Mm-hmm. You don't stick them both out there from the start.
Yeah. You can set off into 2 clouds.
Mm.
So if they've got 1 fighter cloud, you can send 2 clouds out, and then as soon as they commit to 1, just pin it down or gum it up. Because you've got so much anti... It's only 1 dice from each Gazanti, but... Because of Rhymer lets you stay quite a long range, they often have to come in to take your fighters out. They have to come in range of your Gazantes, and then you can, with Callus and Concentrate Fire things, you can actually plink them down pretty quick. And then Mauler does a good job as well. So it's actually got a reasonable anti fighter game.
How did it do against the Yavaris fighters?
They won the fighter fight
because you had jamming field. Jamming field. I think it would have been a lot closer, because I would have had all my Dengar stuff, and I would have thinned you right down. Although I did kill a lot of your stuff.
Oh yeah,
I had like I still had 4.
It was only like a 6-5 victory to me at that point when it would have ended.
But even at the end, I had 4 or 5 bombers left, and you had basically nothing on the fighters. You had Jan running around.
Yeah, there was not much left.
Jan was on 1 health, so she was legging it.
I did run off with a lot.
She ran off.
The MC-30 ran off. Yeah, most of my stuff was on the run. So a win is a win.
What would you say its weaknesses are, then?
Probably Kraken. Basically, any list with Kraken, probably going to struggle.
Kraken and H9s.
Anything that's optimised to kill, to get accuracies, it's going to just...
Something with Home 1 would be good.
Yeah, because I was toying around with a Home 1 and... Turbo Laser Corvette.
Yeah. They chew through it like really just.
Yeah, I think you can fit 4 in. I can't remember.
Is that with Akbar?
If you had Akbar, then it's really going to tear them apart.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Fuck. I don't think you can fit in a fighter zone if you take Akbar. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's I guess the weaknesses are Kraken and like big rebel squadron heavy rebel lists. That tried to pin you down, sort of thing.
I think what I really missed in that game is I'd taken H9s off my torpedo frigates just to see what it was like. And it was
the one game when you needed them really badly. Yeah.
And that's the thing about flotillas is they're really paper thin.
They're all or nothing,
you,
aren't
if
they?
You, if you can't all get all that accuracy, and like if I was the volleys that I had, you know. Like if a raider had braced them, or if something had braced them, some small base ship had braced them, they'd have still perished.
But the
fact of flotilla can go, I can ignore everything.
It's
no
pretty
face-up damage cards for me.
Very powerful ability.
But then I guess it's rewarding. On my side, it'd be rewarding more targeted play where I actually, you know, I have to put the mods in to guarantee those accuracies, which would be a better.
Yeah,
thing to do.
But even then, like you've got to kill lots of Gazantes and lots of squadrons to beat it heavily.
Yeah, because
it will. The bombers will just
they'll
burn
kill
down
some
stuff.
Yeah,
they'll burn something down. Before
it just
you
feels
get
like a
away.
Wall of fires when you see it list played and just amount in front of you. It's hard. You don't know where to go.
And Bright Hope, it also suffers the Bright Hope as well.
Oh, yeah, the deadly ship, Bright Hope.
two-point upgrade.
Hey, man. Bright Hope.
You know what we were saying earlier about Jamming Field? Isn't it just ridiculous that there's no way they would have made an upgrade for 2 points that cuts the dice off everybody's damage? Oh, no, they did. It's called Bright Hope.
Yeah, but at least it only affects a transport rather than a ship.
True.
And as long as you're rolling double damage, you're still...
But I particularly suffered because all my bombers were trapped in against Bright Hope. Against you, Ricky, and
Jamming Field and Bright Hope.
They were powerless for like two or three turns.
Yeah.
So I think knowing that now, I can just nip out a bit and.
So I guess most important question: are you still going to keep playing it, and are you going to take it to Cardiff?
You aren't.
I think I'm going to take it. Yeah, just because
I don't want to play you on this.
Well, I think it's something slightly different. I've always liked Tarkin. Like in Wave 1, I played Tarkin a lot, and I love Tarkin.
I really like Tarkin.
And there's no real reason to... I'll catch people off guard. But, yeah, also, it's just... where the game is now for me, and I'm a bit cynical here, is like the only Rebel lists I see are viable are the TRC Corvettes, which I played loads in Wave 2. I played that in quite a few tournaments. And the Reek and Yavaris thing, and I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon
yet,
ever. So, and then with Imperial, I've tried a few different Imperial things. Like I tried that Ruthless Strategist thing against you, Ben, and I didn't play it amazingly well, but didn't really work. I guess the only option I would play for Imperials is maybe the ISDs with the interceptors and the bomber thing, but then that's very, very similar to this.
Just because Antis instead of ISD, and
Motti, which is even more boring.
Yeah, like, no, it's definitely something different. It'd be good to interest
because I'm just so bored of playing just Motti for Imperials. Just do something else. And with Rebels, there's only those sort of few lists of where the game is.
I'm feeling similar things at the moment because I've been trying to practice. The big thing for me is
So do you want to move on? Is that your list?
I was going to go into it because I was feeling the same way as you were. The only two Rebel lists that felt good enough to win were Yavaris and TRC. And my concern with both of them is that it's very hard to get big wins. Because that's always been my problem with tournaments. I get to the end, and then there's always someone with one or two more points than I get. So you need to get
lots of sevens and eights in your wins.
Lots of sevens and eights, yeah. Usually 1 10 and then a couple of seven and eights. And there's always someone else who's got like a 10 and 2 9s. Mm. And the Yavaris list has that problem only if the other person chooses not to charge into you. It's hard to get those points. And with the TRC Corvettes, they can get it, but you basically can't afford to make a mistake. So I tried to make this list, it's like the best of both worlds. It's an MC30... with Admonition, Lando, Ordnance Experts, Proton Torpedoes, and XI-7s, which is basically just an absolute hammer. With Admonition and Lando, it's never died.
Yeah.
And it hits like a ton of bricks with Torpedoes, Ordnance Experts,
although if it gets bombed into the ground by bombers...
Admonition's amazing against bombers, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Admonition is superb.
If you're desperate, you can burn all four of your tokens and discard four bomber dice.
Yeah.
And then you just go up to speed four and you've got...
Admonition is amazing. But
then your virus is doing six shots against you plus whatever else is there.
Well, the other important thing about this list is I have a 17-point bid.
Okay.
That's a bit of escalation.
It's definitely going first.
It's definitely going first. You drive the torpedo frigate in. Against most ships now, I've got it so I can get both flanks on the same ship. Because your front arc is so narrow on MC30... It's really not that difficult to get both your broadsides targeting the same side zone of an enemy ship.
You mean your broadside and your front?
No, both your broadsides. Because you ignore your own arcs for line of sight, you just need your side arcs to clip the edges of his side arc. This is terrible radio, but if you imagine this...
So you're crossing the T, basically.
Yeah, you're crossing the T. This is the, I don't know, like Yavaris, for example.
You need to hit them
when
they're
side arc. You come in, bang on in the side, so that both of your sides clip the very edges of his side. Imagine it like a T, like you're drawing the letter T.
Yeah, yeah.
You come in perfectly.
Yeah, because the yellow dot only goes through your arc, which is fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So that does just so much damage.
That's dirty. But you have to hit them side on.
Yeah, and this is the problem I found with it. It does kill a ship, almost guaranteed. But it's almost then impossible to get a second attack run in the game.
This is another reason. I know we finished with my list, but this is another reason why I love my list. Mm. Oh, you're going to bring your 100-point... demolisher or thing to kill one thing, right? Yeah. have 23 points. Yeah. and then off you go, and I won't see you again.
Yeah, this ship would not be great against the flotillas, that's for sure.
See, I feel like you need H9s instead of XY7s.
Well, yeah, I mean, the XY7s makes it really good against things like
Star
Destroyers.
MC80s are really good.
But you know,
I love the XY7s on it, because when I've seen it, because you can against demolisher or things with lower hull points that rely on shields, absolutely amazing.
True. Yeah. And you normally do get an accuracy to lock down the brace with.
Rebel stuff has low hull points, high shields, and XY7s are amazing.
But no, I see your point. There is definitely a case for the accuracies. Right, then it's a medium transport with quantum storm and slicer tools. Yeah, which is for, you know, knocking out the repair orders on an interdictor or knocking off fighter commands off your virus. Yeah. Bright Hope's a better card, but Quantum Storm guarantees you the slicer.
Tools. Yeah, better with slicer tools.
And then we've got 1, 2, 3 Corvettes with turbolaser reroute circuits.
Horrible.
One of which also has Kraken and Jaina's Light on.
So I can hide behind stuff.
So that the Kraken one can be behind the other Corvettes and still shoot fine.
It doesn't matter because he gives it obstructive. He does B3, but if you want to slow it
but
down.
Just sometimes with your three Corvettes all trying to shoot the same target, you often end up blocking one of your own shots.
And you want him to be the guy who's behind other guys.
Exactly. He's... So it just makes sense that one of them you don't have to worry about shooting through your own ships. Why not make him the Admiral too? Right, and then it's 4 YT-2400s and 2 A-Wings.
Solid.
So originally I flew it with Han, Dash, 2 A-Wings and Dutch. That had a lower bid and wasn't great. So I've just swapped it up for more Rogues.
The 2400 is a good ship for the price.
It's so good. I mean, it's kind of a bit... I think it's almost too good. I'm a bit disappointed that when you spam them, it just makes other ships seem shit.
It's like you don't need to worry about activations. You just take 6.
Yeah. Well, there's the one that we talked about, the one that won the Nova, which has 8 of them.
Which I can see why they do it. I mean, it's just this self-sufficient ball of death that can handle anything, and it's tough enough that we're not going to lose too many of them.
Mm.
So, yeah, obviously the fighters are just there to like tie up enemy things.
They're particularly filth with Torin Farr, but...
Oh, yeah. No, it didn't seem worth fitting Torin Farr in because it eats into the bid.
Yeah.
And the Corvettes often aren't firing their blue dice.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's hard to keep.
Torin Farr's not that important.
You just send them off on their own, don't you?
In this list, because everything's going to speed 3 most of the time to use Kraken's ability.
Yeah.
Often, no one's near the fighters once they've engaged, so it just didn't seem worth it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the idea is obviously it works like a normal TRC Corvette list and picks away at long range until near the end of the game when it runs in and double arcs for the kill. But you've also got the Super Hammer MC30 in there as well. And I used this for like 3 weeks, and I did enjoy it, and I was winning my games, but I was never getting better than a 7-3 or 7-4, one of the new rules, because it's very difficult to get 2 good shots with the MC30, and the Corvettes do struggle to bring bigger stuff down on their own. The Corvettes would kill one thing, the MC30 would kill another, then I'd lose a Corvette and lose some fighters, and that would be the game. I'd start picking or something else, but run out of time.
Yeah.
So I was never getting huge wins with it. So I don't think I'm going to run it.
What are your objectives?
Well, on the off chance you would ever want them on a 17-point bid,
irrelevant is what they are.
Does anyone have an 18-point bid?
Well, we can start escalating.
We are going to start escalating. But the missions I did pick were Most Wanted, Hyperspace Assault, and Intel Sweep. Just because Intel Sweep's always an easy one, especially with Quantum Storm, you can just zip off and grab everything. Hyperspace Assault, you can drop the MC30 in behind, and then it's more likely to get more attack runs.
And you could chuck some, depending on their fighter cover, you could chuck some of those Rogues in behind them as well.
Exactly.
And get stuck in.
And then Most Wanted is amazing for TRC Corvettes. They love. They love that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And it's got 5 activations, which is usually enough to go first and last.
Yeah.
So I think it's a solid list, but it's a solid list for coming third.
But what about
basically
still a good place to come, but perfectionism creeping in here.
Yeah.
So what about your resilience to your main thing being sliced your MC30? I mean, you don't have a layer or comms now or anything.
I don't mind the MC30 getting sliced. I mean, it banks a nav token straight away. So it's always got that in its pocket. And then it does nav every turn, but if someone slices it, doesn't really matter because by the time they've sliced it, it's already done its big hit.
It's got to get the next token afterwards, isn't it, on the next run? You can't slice it twice.
The thing would hurt is if you miscalculated and you ended up flying off the board for a slice, but you'd probably
that's
have
possible.
A nav token.
Fly down to two, and then...
Well, you'd try and bump something to keep you on the table, wouldn't you?
Exactly. I've not run into that problem yet. And because it's not running like engine techs or anything like that, it's not really relying on getting its orders off.
What have you sort of played it against?
Last week I played Javaris. And I sliced Javaris at the end because I went last. I got the slice on Javaris for its following turn, not the turn we were in, and then threw the MC30 in. So the MC30 hit, ran away. Javaris died, and on its death turn couldn't do anything. And then I picked off a Corvette and a transport.
New Leia.
I think he did have Leia, but it was. I forget why didn't that happen. Why didn't trigger?
Or might have been able to slice it after he would have layered it, so it would have made it irrelevant.
Yeah, it was because of the order activation. He did the sequence. He didn't have enough activations to stall it out. And that was it, basically. Like, I killed a Corvette, transport, and Javaris, a couple of the fighters, lost my fighters, and then he killed a transport. It was basically the same as every game I've played with it. A solid win, but couldn't chase down the last few points to make it a big win.
Want to be worked on, maybe, or are you just going to go?
Maybe. I mean, I think the only way I could do it is either get much better at bring in the transport later, maybe. Not sorry, the transport, the torpedo frigate, go wider, come up behind. So I'm getting the big hit a turn later than normal, but then I'm not flying off into the distance.
Flying alongside them.
So I'm flying alongside them. So I hit them and then drive off, and then something else is kind of forced to pull up next to me. That's probably the way to do it.
Yeah.
That obviously puts it in much more danger.
I like Dodonna on the TRC list because he normally gets you over the line. Stuff flies off with one or two damage. He gets you over the line.
He's getting those.
But the problem is you then lose an extra Corvette because you don't have the Kraken.
Kraken's just enormous. At long range, your Corvettes are basically immortal because they're only rolling red dice. You're evading one of them. You're Krakening another.
Yeah.
And then the chances are they've rolled a blank in there as well.
You don't have Bright Hope in there because Bright Hope Kraken is just like...
It's immortal.
It is immortal.
So if you run into another Corvette list, you're not taking any damage at all. But it does force you to keep that speed up, which makes it hard to really chase stuff.
Yeah. So this is why I wanted to try Medine with the MC30s, just because being able to turn around, potentially... obviously, it didn't really matter because playing against such a janky 8 Gazanti list, it was like wherever I looked, there was ships. Seven Gazantis.
Worth trying again, though, against something else.
Yeah, it's worth possibly
worth it.
Two. Two MC30s, two TRC Corvettes, and a flotilla. But I'd jumble it around a bit. I might take out the Corvettes.
So, any other comments on yours, Ben?
Just that you cannot afford to make a mistake with it because the moment you give away some points.
As soon as you get a blue arc on your. You get one of your Corvettes in a blue arc of like an ISD or something. Even just fractionally. As soon as
you misjudge something and you let someone double arc you by mistake, then you lose a Corvette and then you're not going to get a big win.
Must have to do with that speed.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Three or four is going to be what you're running.
And you're wanting to be concentrating fire a lot with them. And there's always that temptation to not nav when you should nav.
I find that hard. Yeah.
So I don't know. I need a lot more practice with it. And I still think it's very limited on how big it can win. So I think I'm going to completely change tack.
what are you going to bring to the Cardiff?
My next couple of weeks of practice before the tournament will be with an Imperial carrier list.
Is it basically very similar? Well, it's not very similar to the Gazanti one, but you're having an ISD.
An ISD. Well, I'm thinking
it's a similar kind of bomber.
An
store.
ISD and three Gazantis.
Yeah. So you've got
And then maxed out fighters and bombers. That's what I want to try out.
How many Gazantis is this group going to bring to the guys?
I need to borrow them for my. It's not going to be enough for us to share. Are you going to pick one up this week?
I've already got claims on them by the way. Not yours, obviously, but everybody else's. I've got first.
I was still thinking maybe a good Imperial.
It's bombers as well. I've only got one pack of Imperial fighters, so I might have to pick up some more of those for the bombers.
I need to borrow some. I've got two packs, but my list has seven bombers in.
So. But yeah, I'm thinking the same thing as you, Chris. I think the only effective rebel lists are going to be Yavaris and Corvettes, and I don't feel like playing either.
I like playing the Corvettes, but like you say, it's not. If you want to win, then it's probably not the. If you want to win overall the tournament, it's frustrating. I would take that, but because I enjoy playing it, it's my.
I did use it in wave two, and I enjoyed it. I played one tournament with it, but I think it's just. The games feel very similar because you have to play it so cagey.
Yeah, yeah.
That you're not really getting stuck in. I want to get stuck in with something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's me.
Cool. Right. Like so, I brought a combo. I played around with this combo. The old Avenger Overload Pulse 1-2.
Yeah, love it.
I think the Interdictor, as I've played with it, it lends itself to trying to put blue crits because it has. Three blue dice that it chucks out of an arc.
Three blue and a red, isn't it?
Yeah, blue and a red. The suppression refit. It just lends itself, and the arcs are pretty generous, so it lends itself to try and hit two things with overload pulse, and then the ISD tries to finish them off.
Happens so often. Yeah. Whenever right, I played so, you with it, so it's always
let's great. Let's go through the list. So I've got an ISD two. Well, and this is. A work in progress, so it's had some changes over time. I've got an ISD 2, which is my flagship, running Motti, the Avenger title, which is the Defender may not spend exhausted defense tokens, Gunnery Team, ECM, and Leading Shots to get me the rerolls, make sure I get some damage in.
Yeah.
Then I've got the Interdictor Suppression Refit with the title Interdictor, Wolf Yularen, just so I can get an insane number of engineering points.
So you can get your first action is an engineering, which you take the token, and then you've got one forever.
Then you've got 8 engineering points for the rest of the game. Yeah.
And then Overload Pulse, which is the ion cannon slot, critical, exhaust all the defenders' defense tokens. And then I've got the Targeting Scrambler. And I'm playing around with either the Gravwell Projector or the Grav Shift Reroute. I think they're both 2 points, so... That's much of a muchness there. Then Gazanti
Targeting Scrambler. Did you just mention the Targeting Scrambler?
Yeah, Targeting Scrambler for 5.
Yeah.
And then the Gazanti with the Suppressor title and the Slicer tools, which again is beautiful because the Suppressor title, you exhaust enemy ships' defense tokens as and when.
So even if you don't get the Overload Pulse off,
and you get to pick.
You get to pick which one. Yeah.
So you're just like, well, I don't want you to use your brace because... I don't want you
that's
to.
What, in my opinion, that's what makes this. I mean, it's not like a top tier list, but it's such a powerful combo because it's easy to avoid, as we said before. But is that you can't ECM it, so everything else you can just be like, you can just go, well, I'll just ECM. But this is you. There's nothing you can do on that defense token. It's gone.
And then so powerful. Another Gazanti with repair crews, just in case I. Get
you do an awkward crit,
or you just take a horrible crit.
Yeah, for those
cannot resolve critical effects or something like that. Yeah,
exactly.
Or can't shoot at obstructed.
Exactly. I've taken some absolutely horrible crits before, which have cost me games. And then really small anti-fighter setup of a Jumpmaster, a TIE Advanced, Mauler Mythil, and Sun Tzu Fel. So it's the TIE Advanced.
And Suntir combo.
Suntir and Mythil combo.
Yeah.
So it's like 2 damage.
Automatic
instant.
Damage.
Yeah, 2 damage instant, and then whatever.
Jump Master, so keep spam Mauler until he dies.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
But yeah, I mean, I've been playing around with that, and I've had more TIE Advance and change that setup. But I've also tried the ISD-1, but I've just found it.
So hard to get any shots off with it.
It's so hard to get so close. And you want the ECM.
The ECM, yeah, it's massive.
Yeah.
And it's exactly 400 points. What are your objectives?
Most wanted, contested outposts and minefields. So most wanted just because I've got a Gazanti and something small that I can
intel sweep, haven't you, on that last one? You've got a fast ship. You could easily take those tokens.
Yeah. But also with minefields, actually, I haven't read the... thing, but with minefields and the grav shift reroute, could I move the mines?
No, you don't move the mines. Just move
move all the obstacles.
Can you put the mines on the obstacles?
Yeah.
So, and then you move them before they set their fleet up, so there'd be no benefit.
No, true. And contested outposts, just because I've got two big slow ships.
Or after they deploy?
Contested outposts would be good with the grav shift. You can drag it towards you.
Even more so? Can you drag it beyond
But again, you place that thing.
Yeah, so you'd already
place it.
But you can bring it like closer to your deployment zone than you normally allow.
You pretty much sit on it.
The placement rules with grav shift.
Yeah, it doesn't have to go within its deployment area. Yeah. It just gets moved.
Just set your starting speed at zero and just pull it right onto you. And just stay there for 2 or 3 turns.
Comes forwards. Yeah. And I've played it against...
Well, you can't set speed zero, but you start on speed one and nav down to zero if you wanted to.
I've played against, similarly, some odd, janky combinations and a variety of lists. And I think the Overlaid Pulse Avenger combo is just, it's easy enough to counter just because it's so easily broadcast what you're doing. Like,
your activation order is...
I have to use my interdictor first if I want to try and
pull
off this.
You need the shots on both, and so they get an activation to move away.
You've got 4 activations. Yeah. Most people, 4 activations seems like the normal amount. So if chances are what they'll do is the big ship that they don't want to get hit, they'll move it last,
yeah.
At which point you can't hit them with both punches.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's only really going to work well against other big ships.
Well, yeah.
Any heavy squadrons...
No, the interdictors are right at shooting down flotillas, I guess. So much blue dice.
The bombers is just going to guess.
Bombers will just run over it. But it's fun.
It's fun
if you want to roll a lot of dice and just say, you can't do anything.
It's a great kind of like, jousting brawler list. Kind of thing. If you're just going to ram 2 fleets in together, will probably come out
and
on top.
It's satisfying when you do combo when you put it off and you've got a massive pile of damage and the guy goes, oh, how much is that, like 12? Fine, I'll just I will do nothing. I will just take that to the face.
So like even if you shot like a home one, can only take 12 damage on one side.
Mm, yeah.
So you could one shot a home one with that.
But see what I found what I found deployment wise, if you deploy your interdictor, if you deploy your ISD all the way in a corner facing the opposing edge,
mm-hmm.
and your interdictor at 45 degrees just offset to that, the ISD, the interdictor can move slowly and the ISD can sweep around the flank.
Oh, okay.
And sort of run down the list of ships that you've just overload pulsed. It was
that's
really,
what you tried on me with.
Yeah. And they make such a great pair. I had someone fly in Liberty against me, and having the slicer tools and the suppressor and the overload pulse, and then they just flew off the board.
Who was that?
If my 8 dice pool had had 1 accuracy, Albertina was dead. But I failed. Failed to roll the accuracy.
It'd be more satisfying to make a ship fly off the edge than...
That was nothing to do with any of that. It was just a slicer tool. It was a 23 point flotilla, or 25 point flotilla.
Definitely enjoying the suppressor alongside the Avenger title as well. Because
you should get that one off most turns.
And the targeting scrambler is so useful because you can sort of dive into the fight, and then with Motti, I'm sitting on pretty high hull values.
It's like...
you dive into the fight and then you can make sure that you don't take too much damage. I've only just survived into rounds before.
Would you be tempted to put projection experts in there?
I played around with projection experts. What I've found is the interdictor doesn't really have very high shield values on its facings. Mm. And I've found that it just mostly wants to engineer it just itself.
Okay.
The ISD doesn't really care. It can take a lot of hurt.
Mm.
And then obviously the flotillas I don't really care about because I only have one shield on the face. The thing about the interdictor is it's got this somewhat insane engineering value, but it has no ECM, so it can't guarantee that it can brace an attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has low shield facing values, so it's quickly eaten into.
Right.
So I just need to be engineering as much as possible.
Wow, well, yeah. Throwing up 4 shields a turn, pretty strong.
Yeah. I like the Xanti suppressor combo just because you can choose and exhaust those defense tokens which they then can't use. Because
most ships have like 1 token they really want to keep.
Like, especially flotillas, especially those scatter tokens. You can exhaust the scatters when the flotillas come in, exhaust the braces of the other things.
Because it's not just, you don't exhaust the title when you use it, do you?
No.
So it's every ship that comes near.
Every ship that comes in range.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's very good.
It's nice having slicer tools and stuff as well.
Yeah, and the targeting scramble's really good. It's almost like a circumstantial lando that you can use
twice a turn.
Yeah.
Or more if it keeps refreshing that.
Yeah. Well, I say twice a turn because of the
Refresh on Interdictor, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. But again, all that stuff is all super, super powerful. But Admonition just doesn't care about it. Admonition can still go, I can't. Or does it say you can't spend them? So can you not spend? That's a good question.
No, you discard them, don't you? You don't spend them.
Yeah. Okay, so you can still discard them for
Admonition. I guess.
Yeah, I guess Admonition still really care about the combo. Yeah.
That's cool. So what do
you... Admonition would take a boatload of damage off of it.
Admonition to a Honey Badger.
I'm enjoying it. I'm tempted to... I don't know. I just haven't... I feel like the Interdictor is due better upgrade or objective cards coming out to help it a bit more.
Yeah. Getting the practice in with it while...
I feel like it is a crit machine to set up this 1-2 punch, but
were you tempted with Screed to guarantee it?
I was tempted with Screed. I don't know. That's the thing. I found that I was rolling the crits naturally anyway on those three.
Well, on average, you usually would.
But like we were saying with Motti, you know. It's 2 less points, is that much more hull value.
Yeah, it does feel like you're paying 2 points to lose 3 hull.
Yeah.
It's this real shame that Motti's kind of like this no-brainer like default. Because it means all the other Admirals do seem pretty poor in comparison.
It's like they often say on the Intensify Forward Firepower, they say like, because he's just there, you don't have to do anything. So you don't, with other Admirals, you have to build your list around it, or you have to make something happen to make something happen. You have to like commit something. But with that, he's just there. He does it automatically. Every ship benefits from getting more hull. It's not like with Medine, say, you go, well, I'm only really going to benefit here if I need to be navving and I've got crappy. Yeah. Like it's a no-brainer. It's
always good.
Yeah.
It's even good on small ships. Like even though they only get one extra hit, it still works out economically. Exactly.
The price is just, it should have been cost a fair bit more. I don't know, maybe 30. 30 points have probably been a bit.
Yeah, that seems fairer because right 24. Now it seems like a bargain compared to the others. Especially Taggy, jeez. Yeah. Does anyone use Tag? Was it Tag or Taggy?
I have, yeah. I don't know. It comes with Exandria, doesn't it? And it seems useful if you're going to be burning that scatter token much.
But more often than, every time I've seen a flotilla die, it's not because they had discarded their token, because it got accuracy.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's the thing. It's
absolutely.
I'm not sure.
And because most Imperial ships don't have ECM, they usually have the same problem. They're dying with their defense tokens on them because they've been accuracy.
What I did find is I was running an ISD with ECMs, and I was just like, well, I can burn my brace token, but then just get it back next turn, which seems great. But then you're like, well,
is that better than 3 hull points?
and 2 extra fleet points to spend.
and that means that you've got to have had that combat by the end of round 3. That's meant you've got to burn it, and refresh it. I don't know.
It's just situational. Where you know you're always going to get a Motti, don't you?
Yeah.
Motti is just it. That's the only one every Imperialist can really go for.
And I don't see why. I do see why. It's just a shame there isn't a bit more for Motti.
Well, Motti and Tarkin. But then Tarkin's so many points, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 30, yeah.
Tarkin's rubbish.
He's like the most expensive animal in the game. I like him.
He's not rubbish. He's got a cool effect, but he's too expensive compared 14 to. 14
points.
Depending on how many. It depends on the activations you have, of course. Do
you think they should have, like, across the board had a standard cost for an admiral that they took out?
They'd have to put negatives in then as well to balance it out, because not all benefits would be exactly the same worth. I
like that different admirals are more powerful than others, because it'd be really hard to, you've got this cool idea for an admiral, but you're like, that's not quite as powerful as all the other admirals, but there's no way to make it tiny bit more powerful.
You'd have to have like multiple effects on the same admiral,
yeah,
or you'd have to have two yeah, you have to make it a bit more powerful with another effect and then have an offsetting negative that makes it slightly less
powerful. Yeah, really, like,
just balance it with the points, guys.
Yeah.
But then
actually balance them.
Sorry?
But then actually balance them.
They haven't balanced them, but yeah. But
yeah, then down the road, you know, where they add more and more admirals, this thing happens where it's like, is this...
Mm.
I like how, like, Constantine's come out at 1 point more than Moffat, hasn't he? Like, how did they?
He's one less. Is he one?
Is he one less?
Or is it, no, he's 25.
It's 25.
Oh, so is it Taggy that's one less? So there's and one. Taggy is 23.
Right? Yeah. But how did they decide that?
Yeah.
Oh, the mighty spreadsheet formula.
Playtesting spreadsheet.
No.
But can't just make everything more cheaper than Motti from then on forward, though, can they?
No. But
no, it cannot be more.
But then 1 or 2 points doesn't really sway anyone's decision on anything, does it? It's more than
that. Like, how did they arrive at that number anyway?
Yeah.
Do they have like a dartboard in the office? And it's like, you know, we'll set it at 20 points, right? Throw a dart, right? That's a 3. Now it's 23.
Plus 20 plus spin the wheel. And you know, if you hit the, like, it's like Wheel of Fortune. There's one tiny little slice that just says, like, spin again. Deduct. That's what happened to Tarkin. He got the double spin on the wheel.
Yeah.
That's why he's a bit too many points.
Oh, dear. Right.
Cool. We finished with that one?
Yeah.
Right, Ricky.
My list. Okay, yeah. So I have another list that I do want to test before I speak about it, because it's Imperial. And they play Imperial. But with mine today, I think it's going to be more of a redone Yavaris list.
Improvement to redone Yavaris.
It's not improved, I don't think.
Just different.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because I like Nebbies, so I thought 2 Nebbies for this time. But you can't afford really... You need the activations.
Yeah, so you can't get the MCs in there.
So I've got 1 Nebby, which is Yavaris, Flight Commander, Flight Coordination Team, your standard... Yeah.
Standard Yavaris,
you can't really beat it. 3 transports with this one.
Nice.
One's going the Bright Hope and Jammy Field.
Yeah.
It worked well. I want to give it another shot and see how it does.
Yep.
The other two...
Oh, it's got Torrhen Faron as well, isn't it?
It does have Torrhen Faron as well, because it's going to be in with all the fighters.
It's in the thick of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best place for it to sit.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the other ones both have Bomber Command. One of them, Adar Talon. Boosted comms, get that 3rd activation.
Yeah.
Lastly, is a bit of a mix of all the squadrons. I don't know if I need Luke. He's in there. But I might change
it. Is this the list?
Oh, yeah, you didn't say what the other Neb was.
Oh, the other Neb is TRCs and Salvation. Because I think it's a good ship. I like that title.
He did say that.
So it's something I want to see. It's hard. It normally is dead before you even get to really shoot him.
Not but with Recon.
I think it needs to be in the game more than just one
shot. I like Salvation with TRCs. Yeah. It's cool.
I think it's a really good mix.
Yeah, it hits hard.
Yeah.
It's just got to live long enough to hit hard.
And you spend the points to get the 2 blue dice AA.
Did you take the escort? I did, yes.
Hmm.
I wanted the extra dice for that reason. Haven't
got enough on squadrons already.
I do.
but when you've got Torrhen Faron as well, like, you can really saturate that.
Grim.
I thought it was a good choice. And the extra S got like activating 2 more fighters just in case. It should be on concentrate fire.
You should. There should be no other.
You know, if I've lost a ship and I need to do more activations, it's got an extra one. But squadron wise, we got Luke, we've got Jans, of course. Can't go without Jans. Wedge, again, it's a no brainer. 3 X Wings. Now I've got 2 bomber commands, so I wanted to really make that red work.
Yeah,
could go for some double damage.
You can do the same thing we were talking about earlier. So you can roll. If you don't get a double or a crit, you can have another go.
Whiskier with a red dice because you got 3.
There is. Sort of no, so I think that's red dice. That's why I went with 2 bomber commands, because I just think it's not good enough chance. And I threw in 2 scourges as well because
Yavaris, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're thinking like, is it Talon with Luke, and then Yavaris triple taps Luke, and the 2 scourges.
If it's in a bombing situation, otherwise we're going to be triple tapping Wedge.
Yeah.
Or Luke.
And then double tapping some X-Wings to follow up.
Exactly, yeah.
Is there no Nim?
No Nim.
I think this is a good idea, because Nim was amazing when you had the MC-80. But without the 80, like, if all your damage is being done by squadrons, who cares whether you've got a brace token or not?
Yeah, true.
Exactly, and if you've taken out most of the anti... fighter anti-squadron on the other side, you've just got all bombers. That's just...
So he nims a lot of points, and he doesn't make the bombers any better.
I'm tempted to move Luke to being an X-Wing and just using those points elsewhere.
But then you've only got one...
Named.
One zombie X-Wing.
Yeah, Luke's always another zombie with Recon, which is good.
He is. So it's not been tested. I've got a feeling it might be pretty weak to some...
What are you worried about?
Heavy fire. Losing... Any of the
just that, yeah.
I'm scared of losing. What missions did you go for?
I've gone for precision strike because it's bombers. It's going to be a lot of crits. Contested outposts, make them come to me. It's always a.
To be honest, you can just say precision strike, contested outposts, and superior position.
Because that's the standard. That's the standard combo.
It is the standard one.
I could
go with intel. You could probably an easy 15 points, but precision strike's probably superior
position. Weird, like really, you've dropped the MCAT. And you've stuck in a transport and a Neb B. Like, it feels like there's a whole lot of points missing.
It doesn't feel like enough, does it? No. What's the bid? The bid's none.
No bid. Do you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't sound like a fair trade. But then you've got more upgrades in, haven't you?
Yeah,
got,
the
like,
transports are quite tooled up.
Yeah, they've both got boosted comms and bomber command, except for the one that runs.
There's no more... You go for more squadrons. I thought maybe throw in a carrier... I think it'll be an interesting to try. It's probably too weak.
I mean,
I think
it looks
it's
like
kind of firepower.
If you look at it as a fleet on the board, it's, you know, three transport flotillas, two frigates, a load of X-wings.
It'll look good.
It looks like a movie like fleet. Do you know what I mean?
But again, you guys managed to try yours out. I think this is a bit too soon to say.
Yeah,
we'll find out Wednesday when I get Salvation killed. In the first round or something.
I think Salvation's cool if you can cover its sides off with stuff.
There's nothing to cover its sides
off. Well,
you've
got off. The transports. Transports make it like buffer, you know. If Demolisher can't physically get into short range of it because there's a transport set in the way.
Well, it's either that. It was going to have Slicer in there instead of one of the Bomber Commands. I think double Bomber Command. After seeing it in action with Chris's eight, because I'm
seven
now, sorry.
Now you need triple Bomber Command.
Yeah. I think it will be a good one.
I think
to try.
It's a strong. Yeah, I'd like to see it in action.
What makes it better at chasing down than.
You got more three. Boosted comms.
Boosted comms,
right.
Speed 3 and everything, nothing slow.
Yeah, and the B and the Salvation's good at long range.
Nothing's a slow bomber.
But you've lost
no B wings.
You've lost the massive like domination zone of the MC-80.
I have, yes. Or I went to the
and you don't have the torque frigate to chase stuff to get in there and
you don't have any big
alpha strike. Yeah,
chasing down lists. It's so situational on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like there's if we're talking planning and tournament.
Yeah.
Every list you go against, it's unlike you're going to go against three. Very fast lists are always going to get away from you. You've got to play the odds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Go high for the big wins. Maybe you'll get a low win on the last one or the first. Depends who you're playing against. I'd look forward to trying this one. So my other one's an Imperial list that is heavy anti-fire. Like all about the... I want to use the Gladiator as anti-fire, and that's what that's all about.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The Mark II Demolisher, that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
I was experimenting with that, with Ruthless Strategist.
It does have Ruthless Strategist on it now. Yeah. I think I linked it to you guys anyway. But,
you did, Do you want to explain to the people at home what you've given it, how it works?
I have to bring that one up. But it's got Ruthless Strategist. It's got the commander that lets you shoot another named one. I can't remember its name.
Callus.
It's still
the one with Sergeant... Brutal and Commander Evil.
It's still got the Demolisher.
It's the cheesiest bad guy nickname.
He's a terrible character as well in actual Rebels, isn't he? Like he's always failing, and then he's always chewing other people out for failure, and they're all getting like Vader and Tarkin are executing them left, right, and centre
because he's just palming the blame off onto other people.
He fails every single episode. He fails, and he's always like completely untouchable.
Wow. Oh, man.
That makes him good. He's useless.
Like a Scooby Doo villain. It's like, I would have done it. Meddling.
Basically.
Oh, man. Well, maybe his partner, Special Agent Heartless, got killed by Vader.
Brilliant.
Mostly Batman, though.
So yeah, what is it? Demolisher, Callus.
Yeah, you get in front. You can if you're already there. Hopefully, you've got the first turn. So you take your shot, you move around the side. You've probably already taken a shot from using Demolisher on the previous round.
Yeah, you've just rolled 4 blue dice on their bomber wing from your Demolisher. Two out of your front, then you move and you shoot two out the side.
Or 3 if they're named.
Yeah.
There's also, you're going to be able to move another squadron, which if there's, you've got your intel in place, you've got Maul and Mythil.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't do the job, you've got Maul and Mythil can be activated again.
And then you've got some TIE bombers nearby, which you can ruthless up. So potentially, like, you're talking about Gladiator going in and doing...
He's just to soften them up.
He should do like 2 or 3 damage to every fighter in the ball with his own shots.
You got
then Mauler comes in, does 1 to everyone, and then Ruthless triggers and does like another 5 or 6 damage across all the fighters.
It's you can guaranteed kill Janors, can't you, effectively, as long as you get at least a hit from each shot.
Yeah, if you hit with both your volleys.
You hit, and then you Ruthless strategies her, and then you move around, and then you shoot her again, hit, and then Ruthless strategies her.
Yeah, well, you don't even need Mauler there to do that 4 damage.
Yeah. You can just kill.
So with Mauler, you can kill any 5-hit-point fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
TIE fighters are dead in the water.
Yeah, interceptors die without triggering their counter.
Yeah.
I think it's really powerful. As long as you've got like a tough thing, like a bomber or a YV that can fly in there and take the Ruthless hits.
The only issue is that you're not using Demolisher for all that damage.
You are. No.
But you can, once you've dealt with the fighters.
You can later in the game.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
What if you've got...
It's not exactly weak.
Yeah.
Anti-ship-wise, I've got an ISD.
Yeah, so you've got 2 Gazantes for activations.
Yeah.
ISD with ECMs
is the one to activate the
stuff. But you've got no...
And you've got 3 bombers.
I took a couple of bombers along. And 3 bombers.
So it's Mauler... Denga, 2 bombers, Reimer, 2 advanced.
To take the hits. The other ones are too slow, I think. They won't be in time to get their reaction. You know, losing a few points on your advanced or anything if it's going to take out their squadrons.
Well, the nice thing is, if you fly in with, like, your whole fighter wing, so you've got everyone in a ball, the bombers can still shoot. Reimer and Denga means the bombers are shooting their ships, but then your ruthless strategists... take 2 or 3 hits off each of the bombers.
Yeah.
So you're not even going to lose anything.
Hopefully not.
And you're going to wipe out their whole interceptor wing. Yeah, I think
if they were foolish enough to keep all their stuff together, it's really going to be painful.
Did I? We played a game the other week, Ben, and I had something similar. I don't think I had... did I have a Ruthless Strategist on Demolisher?
I don't think you did. If you did,
I'm not sure.
You torched me out.
I thought you did.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Because you
was this still Fleet Ambush game we played?
But you had a screen.
Yeah, I had basically that setup, but
you shot a ship.
I think it was on. Yeah, I didn't have FCTs. Yeah, no, because I did. I managed to torch Jan in 1 turn, or I think she was on 3, and I managed to kill her. She was like flying away, trying to get away.
Oh, that was right at the end of the game.
But I. Well, like a lot of my ship, because I was playing it as MSU, a lot of my ships died before I got to we had admonition, and it's like a load of raiders with APTs, just no contest.
Well, yeah, because I had Kraken as well.
Yeah.
So those raiders were flying and just not Kraken, doing shit.
Yeah. Screw. Yeah, it's a good...
it will do okay.
Good theory.
And even with those, if you've taken out their squadrons, you've got your bombers running free.
Mm-hmm.
At least you're throwing out a bit of extra damage to
help. Do you reckon it's enough though to kill, like, say, a Recon character squadron where they've all got 5 or 6 health?
Your other list would say
shed loads of bracelets.
I think if they don't quite do it right, if they keep close, I reckon you could really put the hurt on their whole squadron.
You only need to kill Yan.
Yeah, with Yan gone
on the turn that the ISD comes in, because then they can't shoot the ISD.
If you take out their scourges or their their bombers.
You can kill Jan.
Because they're not going to kill your whole fighter wing.
You can just pin them down,
How many? 2 cool. advanced.
2 advanced, Mauler, Denga.
It's one to try again.
Definitely give it a go. It's
probably not a big winner. It's probably another 7 or 8.
I don't know, it could be, because although Demolisher's not 100% tooled up for anti-ship like a regular one, it hasn't got the engine techs and the APTs, it still does a lot of damage. It's still Demolisher, and it's still got 2 arcs with black dice. Yeah. Like, it's not shit. Yeah.
I
just wonder if you need leading shots or something on your ISD.
I've got no points left. I'd have to lose. I don't know where I could even lose points because it's set up ready to.
We've got 2 Gazantes. Yeah. I mean, you've got 2 sets of boosted comms you probably don't need.
Do you need Shirane?
Yes. Just to add that extra damage to move.
But to guarantee Mauler if you lose Denga. He's very expensive.
He is. But if I can get him to move Mauler. I can also get the Gladiator to move Mauler.
That's I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, because the Gladiator's got the fighter control teams. So
this is just free damage.
So Mauler can move without activating.
But isn't Mauler's special thing that he has to activate and move?
No, he does do the damage, but...
After you move.
It's
But
it's... Because I've theorised about
it. But it's an engage.
That's right. So I don't see many situations where he's far back enough and doesn't get pinned.
Right.
But you've got Dengar and Shirano.
But Dengar doesn't unengage. Dengar doesn't let you trigger FCT. You have to be unengaged.
You're right.
Because
it just makes them heavy, which means you're still technically engaged. Correct.
Yes.
Maybe move him out.
So FCT you have to have Mauler completely unengaged. So somebody
You might get it at the beginning.
Somebody would have to be desperate enough to chuck all their squadrons into yours and leave them close enough to Mauler, but not pin Mauler. And I can't see many situations where that's happening.
Yeah, you can get that initial.
You get it initially.
Move in,
don't you?
Yeah, but so say you've got. I can't do it on. Say you've got a load of.
Oh, because it only moves in one.
Exactly.
So
what situation would there be when
someone's going to let you do that?
Someone's going to dive in to you, but not pin Mauler down first.
Mm. But there's nothing that states like even after moving him.
You don't get the free move from the Gladiator unless he's
unengaged.
Yeah, and I can't see many situations where you'd have to shoot him free first
If you got that from the Gladiator, that's 3 points.
It's not enough still.
Which isn't enough.
I'd drop boosted comms off the Gazanti because you've already got boosted comms on the ISD and you don't have that many fighters. You've only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fighters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the other way around. Just drop one of the boosted comms. I'd
probably drop it off the ISD.
Yeah, because it's going to be in the thick of it.
Yeah.
And the Gazanti can then hang back.
Good point. I'll do that.
I forgot what we were saying. Leading shots.
Yes. Because that time when you roll your 8 dice and hit 4 accuracies on the blues
always
and
4
blanks on the reds, you're like,
should have took these 4 points.
And you often only get one shot on any particular thing with an ISD2, don't you? You only get one
shot. And I don't have general teams.
Unless it's a joust.
So it's only one
shot's all you need with Avenger, baby.
No, but what I'm saying is one shot.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to make it count. So yeah, you need to shots.
True. Oh, you don't even have gunnery teams, do you? No. Again, points.
I could lose the ad.
You could downgrade to an ISD1, but then it's.
No, I don't. I'd drop Shirano before downgrading to an ISD1.
Fair. Definitely.
Let's try it.
Let's try it.
And then we'll modify after.
It'd be good to see demolish used in a role that's not purely APT.
That's cool.
Not even got engine techs, has it?
No. Wow. Have I ever seen that? It's going to be a global first.
It's not going to be that far out because they're going to be coming at you with their squadrons. So you don't need to be chasing down the other side of the map for their squadrons.
In the X-Wing builder, it says... This is the first time this squadron has ever been built before.
Definitely going to say that about this planet.
If they had this in the Armada build, that would be funny.
We'll come back next time and...
Cool. Yeah, so we're done for this week, this time round. So we'll try... We've got the tournament end of November.
We could
try. It'll be 6 weeks between, because by the time we come... We're not going to record straight after that. It'll be like another. Some of us have families, homes to go to.
I think that makes sense, though, because otherwise, if we record just before,
we'll run out of stuff.
And then by the time we do record for that tournament, we'll hardly remember how the games went.
True. Yeah. Or we'll see how it goes. See if some articles come out on FFG and there's stuff to talk about, I don't know where we can get Worlds coverage, but we could do a quick hour on Worlds. Talk about that.
Recycle everyone else's content.
Yeah.
Because we have no new information. We only know what other podcasts and articles tell us about it.
Stay up and watch it on the
streams. Is there some kind of live feed
and then take notes.
Wow.
Actually, no, there won't.
Oh, well, it sounds like you've just found a job. That's not how that goes.
Well, actually, though, I don't think the feeds will be live because I think, I don't know. I thought it would.
They'll probably put it on YouTube or something.
I thought they suffered from bad Wi-Fi there. Well, maybe they will stream top table or something.
So we'll see. So yeah, so but next time we'll be talking about maybe how these lists have done since we talked about them. And yeah, how the
tournament,
how the other summer kit goes. We'll do a quick run through for that one. But that's everything this time. Thanks for listening, guys, and thanks to everybody who's given us a chance and started listening. Got any feedback or comments?
Yeah, let us know. It'd be always good to get feedback.
We've got posts out on the UK Facebook group and the Southwest one as well that you can reply to for that. Has anybody set up an email address for us yet?
No.
That would be too obvious. That'd be too obvious. Too obvious.
I did.
Too
obvious. Did you?
Yes.
What is it, Ricky? Can you tell the listeners so they can
I can't remember.
Oh, no. We have to wait till week three.
We'll include this in the info.
We'll add it. We can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, check out the show notes.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Hopefully you hear from you if you've got some feedback. Otherwise...
Yeah, check out Squarespace and Audible. I hear all the other podcasts talking about them, so apparently... That's a good thing for podcasts to talk about.
What?
Oh no, this is a bad joke.
Because
a lot of podcasts are sponsored by Squarespace.
Okay, right.
Not us.
We're not sponsored by it. No one's sponsored.
Check out Bristol Independent Gaming.
Yeah.
For your gaming needs in the Southwest.
I'm sure Jim will sponsor us by giving us nothing. He'll just take the free publicity.
Which is fine.
It's fine. They gave me a free XO7.
Oh,
yeah.
There's
there
now. Everyone's
going to
want one.
Everyone does want one.
All right, guys. I think we're done. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.